It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And we are off and running for this, the 20th day of July, 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. And that, of course, is where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, madcap, zany, wacky, real-time, screwball, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. Pick yourself out a screen name and a password and be welcomed by the likes of Anatole and Little Thunder, others to wander along presently. We stand not upon ceremony and expect everybody to be in the chat room at the beginning of the program. I think you'll find it an enjoyable experience. And, of course, while there, you'll be moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, while absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt, a spacing guild master, has elected not to fold any space today. Because he would be folding into the hellscape of a blisteringly hot man cave. You will also be moderated by pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. So come on by. The conversation is fine. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. We have reached the end of the third week of July. It's Friday on the front porch, and this little exercise in which we engage, Friday on the front porch, is a delightful way to close out the broadcast week, a free-for-all roundtable that takes place at the end of every week, a discussion. Well, the Horn is conversation radio unlike anywhere else, and well, the discussion that takes place on Friday on the front porch is unlike anything that I'm aware of taking place anywhere else. So it's real easy to do if you're familiar with Skype. Well, send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk, and he will show you the breadcrumb trail that leads to the great big hollow tree in which we hide the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable around which we gather for this weekending conversation. Okay? Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, on Skype. All right? Okay. So we have, as we always have, thanks to give out for the subscribers who help keep the program on the air through their partial sponsorships of the various days broadcasting. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We have just 1 second here. Yes. We have thanks to send out to Bernice. Thank you very kindly, Bernice. And thanks very much indeed to Carl. Carl out in Ohio. Thank you, Carl. Let's see. Other thanks to pass along. Thanks to Libby. for helping to knock down the fundraising goal last night. Thank you very much indeed. That that took the fundraising goal down to 505, and that's important, as you'll see. So thank you, Libby. Thanks as well today to Sharon. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you very much. That took us down to 485. And so thanks to other subscribers. Vincent, thank you, Vincent. And thank you very much. Thank you very much to our buddies out at West Mesa Photography. Thank you, that is, to David. Thank you, David, very much indeed. And brand new subscriber, longtime friend, brand new subscriber, Dr. John. Thank you, Dr. John, for signing up for a subscription, and thanks for all your help. So, that means that the week-ending fundraising goal is at 685, which is a darn sight better than 745. 685, and here's the deal. Thanks to Dr. John and courtesy of Ralphs, we have two challenges on the table to help take to help take that sum down even further. And that's very important as we near what hopefully will be the beginning of fundraising free radio week next week. I'm just checking to make sure I've got all the Just one second, please. So here's the deal. Between Dr. John and Ralphs, there are $75 in challenges on the table. And hopefully those will be met this evening. That would take our fundraising down to $535, and that's a very big deal indeed. And I'm just making a note of things right now. So hopefully that will happen, and I would prefer not to even mention it any further. Hopefully it'll just be the challenge will be met, and we can go from there. Here's a fun fact, courtesy of Dr. John. The drive from Santa Fe, New Mexico to Gallup is exactly the length of one horn program. I found that out this week, chasing a story. Tuesday's program on the way out, and most of two Dr. Bills on the way back. You guys, says Dr. John, are tearing it up. And again, I hope to have Dr. John's, Dr. Bill's podcast feed squared away soon. Ben Birch is looking for the flaw that I can't seem to find in the posting code. Okay? Thank you, Dr. John. Here we go, Friday on the front porch, and $75 in challenges, which would make for $150 in reduction in fundraising, on the table and waiting. Let's see, where to begin the conversation this evening. Well, we can start with an update. You may recall that toward the end of the program last night, I ran the audio uh, of a bit of a meltdown on the set of The View. In which Jeanine Pirro, ex-judge, was given some of what she dishes out and found out that we found out, of course, that no, she can't take what she dishes out. She doesn't handle it well at all. Well, there's a bit of an update because she went on, Jeanine Pirro judge, went to the friendly confines of the Hannity job show and told the life support system for a haircut that she had been viciously verbally abused. Well, turns out that, and why are we surprised? Turns out that this good Christian lady from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda was, what's the word we're looking for here? Lying! Of course she was! Because she was talking about how Whoopi Goldberg spat in her face and treated her like a dog. Well, that's the problem, and you'd think a judge would know this. That's the problem with doing things in front of, you know, witnesses. Because there are witnesses. And as Whoopi pointed out today after her little meltdown, Whoopi said, after the segment, which ended when it was supposed to, it was not early, not late, she called everybody at the table a name I can repeat on TV and said it in front of the audience. That leaves us to wonder what the name was. And when I came off stage, I went over there because I was a little hot, okay? And I said to her some few choice words I cannot repeat. Yes, I did say it, but I did not spit on her. I did not intimidate her. No one chased her out of here saying, get out. But she did leave here cursing at the people who booked the show. She cursed at the guys who do the security for the show, otherwise known as witnesses. Right. And she went on to say that, yes, they have... Whoopi said, yes, on the View, they do from time to time have right-wing POSs. That's my phrase, POS. But that they are routinely treated with respect. But they also don't behave like some sort of... barbarian crawled out of a Sicilian cave, as does Judge Jeanine Pirro. She said, look, you can come to this show, we treat everybody with respect, Whoopi did, but you can't come and call people names, you can't point at people, and you can't do this to people. And then she added another nail, if you will. People who know Jeanine know exactly what I'm talking about. They know she likes to stir it up. I rarely get stirred up, but I got stirred up yesterday. I did apologize for getting hot. It doesn't happen often. Every 10 years, it seems. Steve in New York. Oh, dear, dear Bob, he said, avoiding a gimmick infringement claim. That was a beatdown, and it was. And it was gratifying to behold. Oh yeah. So that's our vile, foul-mouthed Jeanine Pirro update for the day. And of course, even though she was effectively representing Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, she will be in no wise disciplined for the vulgarity that she engaged in regard to the all-female panel members. There at The View. So that's just kind of like I said, I like to provide updates when there are updates to be had on the stories that we have addressed on the program. What else? Well, an observation courtesy of Ron in Raleigh. Just keeps getting better, says Ron. I imagine you've heard about the Trump administration's instructions to the South African ambassador not to provide any assistance to President Obama during his recent visit. Yep. Stay classy, tiny hands. Stay classy. This is one pretty small shitheel of a man, yes. Yet today I listened as they interviewed several of his sycophants who believe this fool has some sort of far-reaching plan. To them, he can do no wrong at any level. No, and just before airtime, I saw something on Twitter that our buddy Sandra posted. It was a retweet from a Facebook account or from a Twitter account called Real Fake POTUS. It's a picture with a lot of Playboy bunnies in it. Pretty blonde and brunette Playboy bunnies. At the center of the photo, melanoma, and the man who is now illegitimately president of the United States, and Ivanka. The tweet itself speaks for itself. Donald with Melanie, Ivanka, and Karen McDougal. More on Karen McDougal in a moment, because she was at the time a Playboy bunny. But with regard to the photograph itself, and Sandra merely observed, incest much? Ugh. In the photograph itself, that's right, melanoma is standing off to the side, turned toward a bunny in a green bunny suit. Hardly a suit. Costume. And then Donald and precious dear Ivanka are staring out toward the camera from the center of the photo. And yes, you can clearly see that Donald Trump has his hand on the posterior of his daughter, Ivanka. Yeah, I know. That's some seriously classy uptown Manhattan social standing. No, not at all. Now I saw that, and my mind immediately flashed to the audio from Chinatown and Faye Dunaway screaming, "She's my daughter!" Slap. "She's my sister!" Slap. "She's my daughter and my sister!" Or, as the phrase also reminds me of something I once heard up a holler, a particular phrase, "Uncle Daddy!" That family is just disgusting. To be quite honest, it makes a person wonder who the father of Ivanka's children actually is. It's just gross. Arthur with an email. Judge? Don't you mean civil rights activist and Nobel Tremendousness laureate for inventing the bottomless popcorn bag, Justice Jeanine, Brother Bob? Yes, the very one. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Keith, with a note, says, news alert. The American Kennel Club has just released a new classification, the orange-coated, straight-hair, pot-bellied Putin Poodle, also known as Generous Orangius. The classification is from multiple countries, such as Germany, Ireland, and America. It is known for fierce loyalty to the Russian handlers and barking only about itself. The classification is not yet for sale in the United States because it is owned only by Russian oligarchs. There are others in the classification but do not have the orange coat and are not as vocal. Further news as it develops. Well played. Well played, Keith. Well played indeed. Hey, thanks to... Anatole in the chat room, who's getting us started on the challenges. We are now, we are now $10 away from meeting Ralph's challenge, and then we'll get started on Dr. John's. Thank you, Anatole. Thank you very kindly. All right, then, let's see where to go. It's Friday on the front porch, so we've got stories we clear out of the stack that have been hanging around, gathering dust in the midst of the insanity of the last 4 days or so. But, do we want to go there, or do we want to start with the fresh stuff from today? I said more on Karen McDougal. What I meant by that is the news that broke today that, why, how about that? Bob Mueller has in his possession an audio recording. An audio recording made by one Michael Cohen. In which Michael Cohen discusses a hush money payoff to Karen McDougal for the affair that she says she carried on with Julius Geezer back around 2006, just a little bit after melanoma had given birth to a little Baron. Yep. Turns out that Ari Melber and the Reverend Al Sharpton over at MSNBC had breakfast with Michael Cohen just a few hours before the New York Times broke their story about the existence of the tape. You betcha. Al Sharpton said he reached out this last week and said, let's hook up and talk. I've known him for 20 years. He's the guy that when you're fighting with Donald Trump on some issues in New York, he'll set up the meeting, and he was the go-to guy for Trump. I think Cohen made it clear to many this morning that he's not going to be some sacrificial lamb for something that was done wrongly. And so there it is. An audio recording, we use the word tape. There's probably no tape involved. It's just digital recording. But, it's quite the big deal. And the conversation was not tight-lipped, shall we say. Trump talks about the idea of hush money. Now, they immediately sent Rudy Giuliani stumbling out to talk to the cameras and the microphones and whatnot. And he said it's, Giuliani said, this is powerful exculpatory evidence because it shows that, it was Donald Trump's idea, and it doesn't say that they had sex or anything. But yes, Rudy Giuliani used the word exculpatory, to which the heroes, and they're becoming quite the heroes, over at the verified Twitter account of Merriam-Webster responded, exculpatory. Something exculpatory tends to clear from alleged fault or guilt. Which, of course, these tapes don't. This tape doesn't. But what's more particularly interesting is the idea that where there's one, there's probably more than one. More than one is at least two, but beyond the existence of two, it's sort of open-ended. And this immediately reminded some people of Donald Trump's statement back in 2017. James Comey better hope that there are no tapes of our conversations before he starts leaking to the press. It may turn out that there's more Cohen tapes than Nixon had tapes in the Oval Office. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marty says, regarding Cohen's tape, I hope, like the Cylons in the reimagined Battlestar Galactica, there are many copies of the audio recording. Also, somebody keep Cohen away from high places and small aircraft. Yes, and hire him a food taster while we're at it. Maybe if he just eats at random McDonald's like his former boss. That's a possibility. Subject line, disgusting family, coming from Steve in New York. I have plenty of issues with George W. Bush. He's a war criminal, liar, and general dimwit. However, I can say that there was at least something redeeming about him. He seemed to be at least a somewhat decent father to his girls. The Trumps, absolutely nothing redeeming about any of them, from Donald on down to even little Boron. Well, to little Boron's credit, he has not had a chance to prove himself a chip off the old blockhead yet. It's that yet. Yet, right? So we've got interesting stuff to potentially play with this evening. And last night, courtesy of Sister Carol Baker, by the way, the group of Republicans that didn't talk to Cohen or Butina could fit in a booth at Denny's. Grand Slam breakfast, y'all. You betcha. Damn right. Also last night, I mentioned, and earlier today I saw some discussion of what I shared about the League of the South and their blossoming bromance as they went a-seeking the friendship of their pals that they presumed to be little Confederates in waiting over in Russia. Racist went a-courtin' and he did ride. Racist went a-courtin' and he did ride. Racist went a-courtin' and he did ride. Had the stars and bars flying by his side. Crambone. That's two MGM cartoon references in 2 days. Crambone. It's the part that makes it. But this bromance has been a little while, it turns out, in the stewing. As far back as 2014, a group called the Anti-Globalization Movement of Russia had themselves a little conference. Its purpose was to further struggle for independence and creation of new sovereign geopolitical entities on the map of the world. The Kremlin got behind it, gave them money. And lo and behold, who showed up? That's right, the neo-Confederates. No kidding. They went over to beg for help from their tovarichki in Russia. And right there amongst them all was the League of the South. Uncle Daddy! Right. That's two Uncle Daddies this evening, and we're only 32 minutes into the program. Damn. And, of course, the interest in Russia was, of course, and you know, Russian money went into secessionist movements such as they were in Texas and California and, of all places, Hawaii. But the League of the South. She's my sister. She's my daughter. She's my sister and my daughter. Was leading the charge, as it were. And while Michael Hill, who runs the League of the South, and dreams of a brand new nation in the old Confederacy that would be white and Christian, you know, except for the people who weren't, who would, of course, have no rights. It is, after all, a Confederate movement. Michael Hill addressed that first meeting via Skype. He couldn't make it all the way to Moscow, so you know, thankfully the internet was there to put him there in spirit, in which and he addressed the group talking about the independence of the Southern people and the South's identity as a historic blood and soil nation. Blood and soil, of course, being a key neo-Nazi phrase. Son of a gun. I wonder how, they did commit treason and everything, but you got to wonder how old Robert E. Lee would feel about his cause being taken up and sort of strumpeted out to what was then referred to as the Muscovites. Oh, well. Michael Hill went on to brag and say that I was very well received by the largely Russian audience. Oh, wherever they can find a sympathetic ear, the Putin government will happily take a hand in the game. Meanwhile, note coming in from Scott in San Diego. Regarding Cohen's Trump tape. I wonder, says Scott, all along we've been led to believe that Michael Cohen was Trump's hotshot go-to legal eagle to extricate him from all manner of messes. If this is so, how smart was it of him to have left it around for the FBI to find and take? Also, is it possible that Cohen is smart enough to have used the tape to set up the FBI, Mueller, and an assortment of U.S. attorneys? No. The answer to the second question is no. The answer to the first question is the problem with an insurance piece like this recording is that you have to be able to get at it in order for it to serve as insurance. And when they served the search warrant, while even Michael Cohen noted that they were quite professional, they were also decidedly thorough. I think it is what it is. And the one thing it goes to more than anything else is putting the lie to what Donald Trump said about, I didn't know anything about it, I never heard of it, and I certainly never had sex with her, and I never told her after I rolled my sweaty ass off of her that she reminded me of Ivanka. I never did that. Even if she does remind me of Ivanka. Oh, Ivanka. Yeah. Oh. So, yeah. Busy little Confederates. And as, under the subject line, she gets around. David in South Carolina, Stan, hips us to the fact that, yes, much as Carol Baker pointed out that the Republicans who didn't meet with Maria Butina would fit into a booth at Denny's, that in fact Maria Butina was a house guest. You know, the South is famous for its hospitality. Yes. From the Post and Courier's Palmetto Politics section, a headline. Accused Russian spy was guest at U.S. Representative Mark Sanford's Thanksgiving barbecue last year. Mm-hmm. And who wouldn't want to be a guest at a South Carolina style Thanksgiving barbecue? It is one of the finest manifestations of hospitality in the entire new United States of America. Mark Sanford, who was beaten in his primary, has confirmed to the Post and Courier that he met Maria Butina during a post-Thanksgiving annual barbecue that drew up to 300 people. She visited his Coosaw Plantation in Beaufort County in 2017 with her then-boyfriend, Paul Erickson. Paul Erickson is the fella who is tentatively the person who was identified as person number one, the 56-year-old fella who was willing to do her homework there when she was a graduate student at American University. I don't know why I'm sticking with the gooey accent. But yes, she being a Russian spy and all, she had no compunction against using her sexual wiles to further her nefarious ways, so she would occasionally fuck him in exchange for him a doing of her homework and carrying her books and so forth. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that Mark Sanford, who, of course, has had his own sexual problems in the past. You may recall when he disappeared from the radar and was said to be hiking the Appalachian Trail when apparently we did not know that the Appalachian Trail went down to Buenos Aires, Argentina, where he was spending a little quality time with a female woman of the female persuasion who wasn't his wife. Yes. Mm-hmm. In a brief interview today with the newspaper, Sanford said he invited Erickson to South Carolina that year because Erickson was not interested in returning home to South Dakota. How are you going to keep them down on the farm in South Dakota when they've seen the mysteries of the inside of an apartment there near to the campus of American University in Washington, D.C., as decorated by a Russian spy, red-headed Russian spy. Mm-hmm. Look, I understand. I am married to a redhead. And, well, for me, I don't know, ginger's a lot kryptonite. I'm powerless. I'm certainly powerless as compared, well, not compared, but I'm powerless with regard to my lovely spouse. But no. Paul Erickson didn't want to go home to South Dakota. Didn't want to go home at all. And Erickson and Sanford, they've been bosom buddies ever since 30 years ago when they were in business school together at the Darden School of Business there on the campus of the University of Old Virginia. Mm-hmm. And they remained in touch, he and Erickson did, and just didn't want to go. You know, Thanksgiving in Washington, D.C. is kind of a sad place to be for Thanksgiving because everybody clears out and goes home to their families, and there you are stuck in the apartment of a red-headed hellcat with a thick Russian accent who has never given you any reason to believe that she's anything but a graduate student, even though she, it turns out, was offering sex to person number two in exchange for a high-ranking position at how's it described in the indictment, at a special interest group. And Mark Sanford said, well, yes, I met Ms. Bootner during the barbecue. She brought a lovely bowl of borscht for our potluck. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what that little black thing with the holes in the end of it was that was floating in the middle of it, but she kept insisting that we lean down low as we talked amongst ourselves over her bowl of borscht. The damnedest thing, you know. We try not to talk real close to our food here in South Carolina, as people can tend to expectorate upon the food. They must have different customs over there in Russia. But she was pleasant, and she definitely didn't make any overtures to me. I mean, she didn't offer to have sex with me in exchange for me doing her homework. But she talked about how she wanted to start a NRA-style organization over in her native land. And, of course, being as how I've taken many, many thousands of dollars from the NRA over the course of my political career, I thought that what a fine idea that would be. She talked about how she was originally from Siberia. No, she's from Siberia. I don't know if she talked about that. But I couldn't see anything wrong with her. She liked guns. Was a crack shot. She didn't say anything funny about our shrimp and grits. Yeah, usually when the Yankees come down, they say, "What in the hell's a grit?" Well, she didn't do that there, which immediately tipped me off to the fact that she was a fine and cultured lady. Yes. Yeah, right. As David in South Carolina Stan notes, she gets around. Got around. And she's a whole lot prettier than Tom Hanks playing Forrest Gump. Maria Butina. Flavio reminds us all. Genius Paul Erickson. Don't forget, he's had his own colorful pre-espionage career, which included Pat Buchanan's 1992 presidential campaign and a stint as a media advisor. That's true. To John Wayne Bobbitt, the man whose wife, Lorena, famously, as Flavio puts it, Flavio being a practitioner of the art of word knowing, as Lorena, who famously dismembered him. Dismembered. Yeah. Yeah, cowbell for Flavio. New York Daily News helpfully reports that Erickson was the genius behind Bobbitt's international Love Hurts tour, during which they sold T-shirts and autographed steak knives. Because, of course. This is the guy who... I wonder if Paul Erickson pines for her. Wonder if he thinks that they really had something special. I guess we won't know until somebody makes him put his hand in the air and testify. Yeah, Larry points out, they know us. They know us like a fiddle. Those Russians, sex, money, flattery to the extreme. They know how to push our buttons and the cockles of our heart and other places for some. Mike and the food, definitely movie material in this whole saga one day. Me, I would have been tapped by Maria Butina acting the way she did, and then didn't care what a liar this guy is. Daggummit, Larry, you should probably be a hard-nosed private eye. Yeah. A busy evening. Very busy evening. Jack in Shreveport with a note. Butina's boys. All the lovely white Christian boys that have enjoyed the company of Miss Butina have come to be known as... Oh, wait a minute. Cowbell for Jack in Shreveport. Maria's Butineers. Ooh, that's a good one. You guys brought the A game for this Friday on the front porch, didn't you? And just by way of keeping up, David in South Carolina, Stan reminds us of a note from One Wisconsin Now. Sure looks like Scott Walker's non-meeting meant something to somebody. As Governor Scott Walker desperately tries to downplay his meeting with accused Russian spy Maria Butina at a 2015 VIP reception, a new report discloses that his political operation, mere days later, snagged $250,000 from a billionaire who made a fortune then, wait for it, it's coming. It'll be here in a minute. Russian oil. Yes. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel had the story. Days after Walker's photo was taken with Butina and Torshin, Our American Revival received $250,000 from Access Industries, a company founded by Ukrainian-born billionaire, well, there he is again, Len Blavatnik. Blavatnik, whose name sounds like something you have to take a million units of penicillin to get rid of, no. Blavatnik, who has U.S. and U.K. citizenship, previously was part owner of a Russian oil company. Months after the Our American Revival donation, Access Industries gave $1.5 million to a super PAC supporting Scott Walker's presidential run. Yeah, they were spreading it around because there was only one goal. They didn't really care who carried the water as long as the water got carried. There was only one purpose: to make damned well sure that Hillary Clinton did not become president of the United States, because they'd had just about all the ass-kicking from Hillary Clinton they could stand. According to earlier news reports, the accused Russian spy, Maria Butina, used her NRA connections to get access to U.S. politicians, including Walker. Widely circulated photos show Butina pictured meeting with Walker at a spring 2015 NRA event and attending an invite-only kickoff of his presidential campaign in July of 2015. I'm so old I can remember thinking that actually Scott Walker had sort of an inside track, being how he had all that Coke money. But here's a question nobody seems to... I haven't seen anybody else ask it. I'll ask it. Why in the hell is the NRA still a going concern? Why are there not chains and padlocks on its doors? The godforsaken outfit already has blood all over it. And now we find out that it's the whole thing with the eagle and the rifle and the shield and everything. It just became a front for anti-American political operatives from Mother Russia. We will wait for further clarification. Well, yes, Bill, I realize that's a possibility. I was raised on Warner Brothers cartoons. Subject line, Uncle Daddy. Hey, Bob, says Bill in Allentown, you sound like Foghorn Leghorn whenever you go down that Uncle Daddy road. It's about the only time I'm able to laugh at a truly serious subject. Well, we can't just sit here and shriek. It does not make for good radio. Please believe me when I tell you this. Aha! Larry tells us, well, by Jove, I used to be a detective for a few years. It all becomes so much clearer now. Speaking of the NRA, I have a little news story about a member of the NRA board. Yes. In particular, I'm talking here about Ted Pantsload Nugent. He had a concert the other night. He held a concert in Roanoke, Virginia, famous as being a place in Virginia where everybody who's never been to West Virginia has an aunt. You're from West Virginia? Well, yeah. Well, I got an aunt in Roanoke. Yeah, he had himself a concert, if you can call it that, attended by almost 1,000 people. Woo-wee! Packing them in. The pants load is packing them in. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. But there was a concert. And see, there's a law in Virginia that says that, for instance, the Berglund Performing Arts Theater in Roanoke, Virginia, cannot outright ban firearms from the performance venue because it's owned by the city of Roanoke. And it can't ban firearms from being brought into the theater, which really makes it tough for comedians to play there. I mean, if it turns out they're not very good, they could find themselves dodging hot lead on the way exit, you know, exit stage, whichever is nearer. On the other hand, the Berglund Performing Arts Center Theater can ban firearms from a performance, or ban attendees from bringing their firearms to a performance, if the artist so performing, by contract, requests it. And Ted Nugent, noted hero of the Second Amendment, well, about 5 minutes before showtime, his management team went over to the Berglund folks, Berglund Center General Manager Robin Schoen told NBC, "It happened about 5 minutes before we opened doors. We had a security meeting before we opened doors, and the subject came up of firearms, and we said, yes, people will be bringing firearms. It is, after all, Roanoke, Virginia." To which Nugent's management team said, "Oh, no. Our agreement with you says no guns." Because Ted Nugent, who at the time of the Vietnam conflict was such a miserable coward that he purposely did not bathe or in otherwise clean himself, did not change his clothing, and instead walked around defecating on himself and urinating on himself and doing anything he could to make himself militarily undesirable, but went on to become a vocal supporter of Second Amendment rights and went so far as to threaten to shoot to death people like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama on stage at his concerts. Well, he doesn't exactly want people bringing them to his. Because as Shakespeare noted, a hero dies but once, a coward dies a thousand deaths. Right? I'm checking here just to see if maybe we can find the audio. Why, yes, there it is.
Suck on this one, damn you putz!
Yeah, that's him strutting around the stage, Ted Nugent, carrying a semi-automatic assault rifle. "Hey, Obama, suck on this, you putz."
Chicago last week. I was in Chicago. I said, "Hey, Obama, you might want to suck on one of these, you punk." You don't get that. Obama, he's a piece of shit, and I told him to suck on my machine gun. Let's hear it for him. Sunset, you worthless bitch. Since I'm in California, I'm on $500, so she might want to suck on my machine gun. Hey, Diane Feinstein, ride one of these, you comes an idea. It's just in the working stages right now. But back.
That's heroic Second Amendment defender Ted Nugent, who is too chicken shit to let a bunch of hillbillies bring their firearms to, you know, too much of a chicken shit to let 1,000 hillbillies bring their shooting arms to the Berglund Performing Arts Theater Center, a venue owned by the city of Roanoke, Virginia, where you have an aunt, and everybody else does too. Yeah. Roanoke Police Lieutenant Jason Holt told NBC, there's always that concern when other people are armed. However, if they're carrying legally, then we expect them to behave and act accordingly. Yeah, well, by God, not with Ted Nugent in attendance. Not with him as the featured act, because Ted Nugent has a no firearms in my presence clause. He's the only one who gets to bring out machine guns and threaten to use them on people like Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Dianne Feinstein. I think he called Dianne Feinstein a whore in that clip. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, this would be good material for the front porch. I hope you'll be there, Steve. Steve in New York says, perhaps this is better discussed on the front porch. However, I wanted to throw it out there. You may or may not have seen, I have, but Bernie's campaign, well, it's not his manager, but one of his campaign officials, Tad Devine, showed up in some of the emails that Mueller is using as exhibits for Paul Manafort's trial. Devine was on emails sent back and forth to Manafort relating to work for the Yanukovych regime in Ukraine. I write this reluctantly, says Steve, but I have to wonder, given Bernie's hesitancy to admit that he was at least an unwilling pawn in Putin's game, am I wrong or weird to ask and wonder if Bernie was perhaps a knowing Russian pawn? I think we should probably talk about this on the front porch. I don't think Bernie is or was. At most, I think I tend to look at it as a sin of omission. What we do know is that, in addition to various Trump Facebook posts and groups, that Russian trolls used the candidacies of both Bernie Sanders and Jill Stein to advance an anti-Hillary agenda. It's kind of like what I was talking about with Scott Walker earlier and Maria Butina. The Russian Putin-affiliated money was getting behind anybody who wasn't Hillary, because Hillary was the ultimate target, and they didn't care. They didn't care who carried the water, as long as the water got carried. That at least makes sense to me. As Larry describes it, another fucking bit of bullshit we didn't need for our side. No, we didn't, hardly. Not by a long shot. So, just a reminder, at 4 minutes past the hour, Anatole got us started. And we have $10 to go to finish off Ralph's challenge for the evening. Then we got $50 to go to finish off Dr. John's. Kindly, both offers kindly made, knowing what kind of a hole we're in here. And that being the case, if we can do that, we'll knock down the fundraising deficit considerably. Again, I despise talking about it, but the only way to address it and deal with it is to talk about it. So I'll cross my fingers as we go to the break. Let's see here. Oh yeah, I've got a little. This occurred to me as a potential for a bumper. By the way. Last night, as I headed it toward the end of the program, I mentioned the League of the South story, and I said, I like it when two stories sort of come together from disparate areas, and I didn't get to the second story. Here's the second story. Confederate flag license plates, you know, vanity plates with the devil's diaper on it, orders for them have hit a 10-year high in the... state of Tennessee, Tennistan. At the end of June, there were about 3,300 active Sons of Confederate Veterans plates in Tennistan, according to a report in the Nashville, Tennessee, and courtesy of data from the Tennessee Department of Revenue. Revenuers! That 3,300 represents a 72% increase over the end of the fiscal year of 2015. And those 3,300 people who ordered their devil's diaper license plates, well, some of the proceeds of the tag fees go to the Tennessee chapter of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, identified in the news story from Time as a, quote, Confederate pride nonprofit. You can have your Confederate pride nonprofit for $61.50 and show your treason for anybody who sees you on the highway. And this Confederate pride nonprofit, which is another way of saying hate group, well, they've garnered $58,000 from the plates in fiscal year 2018. Sons of Confederate Veterans Division Commander James Patterson told the Nashville Tennessean, "Every time that some of our history that we're so proud of has been attacked, people have gone out, and probably some members who had license plates but quit renewing have gone back and put them back on their vehicle. Because nothing says merkin like flying the devil's diaper on your license plate." Yeah, I know. So let's take a quick break. Like I said, I've got a bumper lined up for, it's a long distance dedication as she sits there, cooling her heels in the stir. The song goes out to Maria Butina. Yes, yes, just like the song says, reminds me of West Side Story. This is listener-supported Conversation Radio Friday on the Front Porch. This is The Horn. I'm Bob.
Ladies and gents, turn up the sound system to the sound of Carlos Santana in the
is Harlem. She living the life just like a movie star.
Okay, I admit it. I'll take any excuse to play a little Santana, because Santana. But it really did. It kind of had the wrong vibe. For a long distance dedication for Maria Butina, you'd want something more like I don't know. But it's not as easy to dance to, at least, right, you know what I mean. Hold on. Yeah, I don't even think Carlos Santana could help that. That would be your Song of the Vulgar Boatman. And as far as I can tell, the Russian translation of that is, God, two flag stag and not pull Prezalekin. Yeah, because they're vulgar boatmen. Boy, that was a long way for a cheap laugh. Thank you very kindly. We are we're knocking down the challenges. Thank you to Steve and Ms. Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy. They knocked down Dr. John's challenge. Our buddy Hung Like Jesus came along and knocked down the rest of Ralph's challenge. So the challenges are met. All right, ciphering. Hold on. Carry the 12. And that takes us down to 535. And then Charlene came along and took us down to $500. So we've only got 2.5 days broadcasting to finish up this evening, and we'll be caught up with everything except for 2 days, and then it's fundraising free broadcasting. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you, Steve and Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy, and thanks to our buddy Hung Like Jesus. Thank you. Hopefully y'all will get some company, and we'll knock this the rest of the way down. We've got a good group gathered together for Friday on the front porch. Hey, Sparky, how are you?
Staying cool, Bob. Staying cool.
Not folding space. Staying cool. Staying out of the man cave.
I was just out there a few minutes ago. It's 100 degrees out on the porch, on the patio, rather.
Ouch.
So it's not as bad as it's been. It's not that knock-you-over heat when you open the door like it's been. I mean, 106. Just a few degrees makes it different. Difference. At least I'm not at the fair.
Yeah, I don't think I could handle an official fair or carnival corn dog at 100 degrees.
No, fair's going on this weekend.
Oh, man, can you imagine being in that 100 degrees and being in one of those carny food trucks and making corn dogs or cheeseburgers or even popcorn or cotton candy? Whew.
No, my minion has taken his, they've taken the pigs to the fair, and I think they took their trailer down, and there's RV spaces down at the fairgrounds. It's only 3 miles down the road.
Well, I imagine your minion's still at an age when he can enjoy the fair.
Yeah, but where they have the animals and stuff, they got misters and big fans going.
Well, they'd have to, just for the sake of the animals.
So hopefully he gets some good money out of it.
Now, speaking of animals, I don't know if anybody saw it, but we had a story out of Kentucky here recently. The ongoing capitalist corporate attempt to drive me toward vegetarianism continues. An undercover activist with a group called Mercy for Animals infiltrated a Kentucky hog farm for about a week, or about, I think it was maybe 4 weeks or 4 months. And in that short period of time, got a bunch of video of people in the facility torturing hogs, torturing pigs, including little piglets. And damn. But the thing is, ordinary people hear that and they go, well, yeah, that's awful. That sucks. I hear it and I wonder, gee, I wonder what kind of wages the people who make there are making, who work there are making. I wonder what kind of pensions and benefits they have. I wonder what kind of hours they're expected to work.
And I wouldn't know, but anyway, I don't think they got any pension benefits.
Well, that's the whole thing. They don't, and their wages are shit. Because, of course, it's all non-union work. And the safety records at places like that are abysmal. And I would argue, is why you wind up seeing that kind of thing. But it's created a bit of a controversy as the owner of the hog farm said, oh, we're going to address this right away.
you know, because they got caught. You'll have that sometimes.
Yeah, good news for me, though.
Yeah, what's that?
Monday, I got to go in and have my injection of the knee grease.
Oh, is it time for you to get the grease job on your knee?
Yeah, finally. 3 Mondays in a row, starting next Monday.
And that's one of those long, thin needles, and they kind of stick it in, waller it around a little bit, and squirt it. And I'm guessing it's cortisone or something?
No, it's Orthovisc.
Oh, it really is knee grease.
Yeah, it's made from chicken combs.
Because science.
I'm kidding you.
Is it painful?
Not if he hits it right. They usually do a little shot of Novocaine or something to numb the spot before they put the needle in. It's over quick. Then you put a little spot bandage on it, and then you go home, get off your feet, put ice on it.
Will it slow you down? Do you have to keep weight off it and stuff?
No, not especially. Just stay off of it for as much as you can for 24 hours. And then next week, go and get it done again.
And what is that, yearly?
Well, it's every 6 to 9 months if you get on it regularly. I haven't been on it for a long time. I used to be getting it all the time when I was working, the last few years at work.
Well, good luck, and hopefully everything does go well.
Oh, yeah, it'll be a piece of cake.
I mean, I hear something squeaking in the background. That's your chair, not your knee, right?
That's my squeaky office chair, old office chair. This is the office chair I've had since at least 2012.
Sounds like it could use a little knee grease.
Yeah, some WD-40 or something, but it's kind of falling apart from that cheap leather they use or whatever, imitation leather.
Yeah.
Just the body oils get on it and it just starts to disintegrate. Then my seat's all, it's the, just the top coatings all come off of it. So when it ever gets bad, I'll take it out to the man cave, chop it up, throw it in the dumpster, and get a new one. I'm good at that.
Got to be something. crank up some sort of power equipment and just, you know, cut it into tiny pieces.
Oh yeah. I cut it up, rip the seat up and everything.
Well, you know, I have tremendous respect for people who can do, you know, mechanical work, because I can't. And I spent the better part of my day today because it turned out that the vehicle needed front bearings. And that's just one of those things you don't want to have, you know, you don't want to have them go out.
I've changed a lot of bearings in my life.
Those things were in there right snug.
Well, yeah, you got to have the right little tool to knock them out.
And never a dull moment. Turned out that once they got in there, the speed sensor that does the computer control, the traction control system, and the anti-lock brakes and everything, that sucker was seized up in its little hub, and it wasn't coming out. So it got hammered and drilled on till it got loose. And I was just sitting there watching, going, ain't no way. There are, because, you know, before the third bolt, the third nut on the third bolt was loosened, I'm sitting there thinking, there's already about 10,000 ways for me to screw this up. But so tomorrow I get to go back. And we, because of course nobody, and I mean nobody, had one of those little speed sensors to put in that sucker.
Yeah, get it overnight.
Yeah.
Dealer part or something like that.
Yeah, it was one of those situations. So, ugh. But you know, at 150,000 miles, you got to do. There are certain things you have to do in order to make sure you get a little more mileage into it.
Yeah, well, my old car doesn't even have that many miles on it.
No, this vehicle put a lot of miles for the ACT Act on it, and and it's, you know, had it since, what, January 2012?
Well, I've had my car since December 2000.
Well, so do some ciphering here.
I only got 79,000 miles on it.
Yeah, it's roughly 21,600 miles a year. And we get, you know, you get mileage like that around here because nowhere is close to anywhere else. You know, even a run to the grocery store is a 12-mile round trip. So it piles up in a hurry.
Yeah, I put about 10 miles a week on my car. Unless we have doctor's appointments or something else.
And then if the wiggling pig doesn't have it, it turns into a, you know, 40-mile, well, no, it's, yeah, about a 40-mile round trip. And God forbid it's Beckley, then it's a 100-mile round trip.
Oh. Well, I only have to add 80-mile round trip to go get my plot.
To go get it. Yeah, there we are, rubbing it in again, Sparky, rubbing it in.
Hey, it's a super lemon haze day.
Good stuff, I trust.
Oh, it does the trick.
Well, who else do we have in the room this evening? I've got this new Skype interface, and it makes it a hell of a lot more interesting to try to see who's come to play. He got the ball rolling with the issue. Are you there, Steve, in New York?
Hello?
Is that you, Steve?
Yeah, it's me.
Welcome aboard. Good to hear from you. It's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been a little bit.
How you holding up?
That one night when I signed off, I'm all right. It's been a rough couple weeks with some work stuff. It's never easy when you run your own shop.
Oh no. Yeah, being Atticus Finch was a lot easier than it looks, doesn't it? Wasn't it?
Oh yes. Because everyone knows that people just walk into your office and throw money at you to be their lawyer.
Well, I'm guessing the Cunninghams haven't been dropping around a bag of hickory nuts for your work on their entailment lately.
No. Nope. But I mean, we've got plenty of stuff. It's just, you know, everyone wants a lawyer, needs a lawyer until you send the bill, and it's, oh, wait a minute now.
Right. That's why the first three rules they teach you in law school are: rule one, get the money up front. Rule two. Get the money up front. Want to guess what rule three is? I know you know what rule three is.
Yeah, get the money up front.
Yeah. Because there's a bell-shaped lawyer appreciation curve that after the and the downside of the right side of the curve, moving left to right, is that asshole billed me for this and I could have done it myself, shyster lawyer.
Yeah. I had a client one time say, you billed me for telephone calls where we talked about the case. Why would you do that? And I thought, I mean, you're picking my brain for what I know because I've been doing it for 15 years. I mean, what planet are you from?
Well, you know, I was talking about mechanic work just a few minutes ago with Sparky.
Uh-huh.
And the ones that always drove me crazy were the ones who'd sit there across the table and go, you know what? This country's got out of hand. I think we ought to have laws that an ordinary feller can understand. And he don't have to have some high price, you know, back then, $75 an hour, high price, right?
Uh-huh.
Some high price lawyer to get his rights. And I said, you know what, buddy, I agree. I couldn't agree more. And you know what, I think we ought to all be riding in horses and wagons. Riding horses and wagons, because these damn cars is too complicated. And I don't think a feller should have to be able to ride it. No, you ought to be able to fix whatever it is you're traveling on and shouldn't have all these high-priced mechanics out there.
Or plumbing.
And then I went on and I did plumbing, and I said, and it pisses me off that when we get sick, we got to go to some high-priced, highfalutin damn doctor and can't heal ourselves. He shut up pretty quick.
Or electricians.
Yeah, exactly.
People used to scream when I'd say, $74 minimum, 1 hour.
And I don't know why we got to have strip joints where there's a 2-drink minimum. Feller ought to be able to look at naked people without having to pay for more alcohol than he actually wants.
There ought to be laws.
Hi, how's everybody doing?
Hey, Billable Rick, what's happening?
Are you in your car yet?
Yeah, I am like stuck in freaking traffic. I'm traversing 35 miles from my office down to Orange County to pick up my girl for a concert we're going to. And it's going to ultimately take me about an hour and 52 minutes to go 35 miles. I'm like thinking, shit, I should have just ridden my 10 speed down there, you know? So,
wait,
yeah,
traffic in LA? The hell
you
say?
Friday. Yeah, traffic in LA. Yeah, when does that happen, right? Yeah,
we're going to Friday night, no less.
Yeah. The concert starts at like 7 o'clock. We're gonna have like a nice bottle of wine, a nice dinner, and you know, before going to the show. But I'm gonna get there like at about 5:45, and dinner was to we need to be on the road by probably about that time anyway. So we're just gonna probably end up grabbing and getting something on the road, you know. So. Oh, well, I guess those are first world problems, right?
Yeah, my heart's breaking for you. You know, you can always crack into the bottle of wine and just stick the swirly straw in it as you roll.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe so. Yeah, we might do that. We'll see. So on tap tonight is Jeff Beck is playing, as is Paul Rogers and Nancy Wilson of Heart. So it's kind of an interesting combination of acts tonight. So looking forward to it.
Is have the swirly straw in the bottle of wine and wait till you stop at a stoplight or then drink, but don't drink and drive. So, or drink then drive, or drive a little bit then drink, but don't do both at the same time.
That's too complicated for me, Steve. I'll just, you know, manage somehow.
That's some good lawyering right there.
Yeah. No drinking and driving. I wasn't drinking and driving. Oscar, I swear.
Damn it, I missed Molly Hatchet by a week. They were here last week and I didn't know it. Karen told me about it tonight. I'm like, well, thanks. That's done me a hell of a lot of good, you know?
Yeah, shit. I saw two shows last weekend. I saw the Bangles at a free concert in downtown LA on Saturday night, along with a new group called Best Coast, kind of one of these trendy groups. You know, they get played on college radio stations now, you know. And then on Sunday, we drove into Riverside to see Chris Isaak. He is a hell of a performer. I don't know if anybody's ever caught his shows, but
yeah, I've seen him in Chattanooga. Yeah, he did put on a good show.
Yeah, he's a kick. He at the beginning of the show, it was a small 2,000 seat theater, you know, and has a balcony, of course. So at the beginning of the show, he goes off stage, you know, and is singing to people and taking selfies with people, and then he disappears and reappears up on the balcony singing a song up there. It's like,
did you walk like an Egyptian? Kind of funny.
Yeah, for the Bangles they did. Yeah.
No, I asked you if you did. Did you walk like an Egyptian?
I don't know how the hell Egyptians walk. I guess they have their hands out in front of them, like, you know. So.
Yeah, one hand out, you know, sort of snaky-like, and the other hand doing the same thing in behind, and you kind of move them back and forth in opposite motions as you walk. Have you never seen To Kill a Mockingbird?
Well, that sounds, you know,
Atticus Finch.
I have.
It seems to me when Madonna did it, it was called voguing.
Mm.
Does anyone remember Steve Martin, King Tut?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. That too, yeah.
He's a hell of a banjo player. He really is. Dude is top.
Yeah. Yeah, he is good. He is good. Actually, speaking of King Tut, the exhibition is in L.A. until like early January. Started like in maybe March or something like that.
Finally, something you can attend, and we don't have to worry about you killing anybody.
Yeah, oh, jeez.
Ah, fuck it. I'm giving myself a cowbell for that.
Yay.
Just don't go and see Kansas until after I see him here in October, man. They're getting up there, so... Hang loose.
Yeah, they're not that old. They're 70s. They're
and you're not killing off Iris. She's a young lady like Bob, so.
There you go. Maybe. You know,
Did you just say young lady like Bob?
I was hoping you'd catch that. I didn't mean
to. Dude looks like a lady. No.
No.
Oh,
I mean, she's in your age bracket, you know. Mine, too. I doubt Billable Rick could kill her off, you know.
No, I don't think so. Steve, you know what? You told me not to do anything to the Go-Go's drummer, like when I went to the show, June 30th or whatever.
You killed her, didn't you? You bastard.
No, she was afraid to attend the show. Her understudy played the drum instead for that show.
No wonder. She probably knew your ass was going to be there.
She was going to be there. That's why she scheduled her surgery before that concert, because she knew I was going to be at that show.
Gina Shock from Baltimore, hell of a drummer, man. One of the best female drummers around, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I got to share with you. I just got a beautiful photo of some seagulls flying above the coastline. A note from Kitty in Boston, listening this evening from Revere Beach. I've been there, courtesy of our buddy Lottie. On my one trip to Baston, just north of Boston. Gorgeous up here right now. I had a swim and a fish sandwich from Kelly's. Been to Kelly's, too. I highly recommend the Ipswich clams. And now I'm watching the kite surfers skimming along the water. I wish so much that all of you were here having a Friday on the beach. Anyway, kicking in $20 and wishing the Horn family a great weekend. Signed, Kitty. Thank you, Kitty. And believe you me, we wish we were there with you on Revere Beach. That would be...
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that would be fan-freaking-tastic. And I can proudly announce that with that, we cracked the $500 barrier. We're down at $480 now, so, you know, there's hope.
Cool. Hey, Bob, can I ask you a question?
You can do anything you want. Wait a minute. Okay. Wrong voice. You can do anything you want. It's a regular joint.
Okay. you know, I've been off Facebook. I'm off of it. And Carol and I we used to talk periodically. If you hear from her, shoot my email over to her, just because I haven't heard from her in a while and I was just wondering how she was doing.
Carol's doing well.
Good.
She went back down to Mexico for a little bit, had a lovely time of it down there, and then she came back and is engaging she certainly didn't lose a step in Mexico, because, like I said earlier this evening, she noted the group of Republicans who didn't either meet with Maria Butina or, what was the other thing, it would fit in a booth at Denny's.
Right.
Oh, jeez.
Let me ask a question here, and I don't know if anybody saw this, and maybe I'm being a little bit conspiratorial.
Okay.
Has anyone checked? Had any curiosity? Has anyone looked to see the name of Putin's two daughters?
I have seen it in the past, but I have not specifically gone looking. Shall we?
Maria Putina is one of them.
Oh. Mm.
I didn't know if there was any connection there, but if this whole, whatever we're in has taught me, it's nothing is surprising.
There are no coincidences, essentially, as well, right?
Yeah. And I was going to write in earlier, as much as I don't like or trust Malcolm Nance, I do think he was right when he said coincidences are very difficult to, what's the word, to formulate.
So what is your beef with Malcolm, my friend?
I don't trust him. I don't trust anybody in the
CIA. Former intelligence operative.
I grew up not trusting it. I mean, you know, my dad was a child of the 60s. I don't trust in the intelligence. And that's what I've been very reluctant to believe too much on the Trump thing.
I respect that, but Stephanie and.
No, I know. I know he's on there all the time, and he's always seemed to hawk in his.
And Randy, they're just gaga over the dude, you know?
I know. But Randy always says, don't believe anything I say. And I don't know. He just makes my bullshit detector go off. I don't trust, I don't trust the CIA or any of those people. What I will tell you, and I think Bob will probably share this, what convinced me that little 1% I needed convincing was this press conference. I did is I actually listened to it rather than watch it. You know, I used the Kennedy Nixon rule, and it's funny, for about the first half hour or 35 minutes, I honestly didn't think it seemed terrible. It wasn't anything. And then he got to that part, and I remember it was at 38 minutes and 30 seconds where it just went off the rails, where he basically said he didn't believe the intelligence. And I don't know why it would be Russia. And I heard that and my jaw dropped and I thought, oh my God. And that's something I noticed. That was the tipping point for a lot of people who were reluctant to use the traitor word or treason. And people now very, very comfortably use that word. And that was the point at which I thought to myself, it's right there hiding in plain sight. In any event, you know.
Well, it does seem like he's always hawking a book, you know, every time he makes an appearance for what it's worth. But they all are, so try not to hold that against him.
Gotta make a living, man.
Gotta eat.
I understand. I just don't trust. I have an inherent distrust of intelligence people. I mean, this is the CIA. These are the people who, you know, who gave us, you know, Pinochet. Shot. And these are the people who gave us, you know, Batista. And these are the people who gave us Somoza. And these are the people who helped to overthrow Mossadegh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
this isn't your Uncle Joe. I get it. I hear what you're saying, man.
And by the way, apparently as of looking for a date here, as of 2016, Maria Putina was 30 years old, said to have a daughter, and she I've seen what are purported photographs of her since I went and looked, and you can see Daddy Vladdy just written genetically all over her face.
Oh yeah, no, I thought that. Yeah, I thought that.
And the other thing is, you know, that A at the end, you know, his name's Putin, her name is Putina, because I guess it's a Russian language convention, in which the feminine letter A gets hung on the end of the word to indicate female.
Yes. Well, like Vlad's wife is Ludmila Putina.
Right.
Okay.
Whereas his brand of vodka, which was introduced about 3 years before Trump vodka was, is Putinka. Vodka, you know, Putin, Putin vodka. So Putinka, Putinka. Yes.
Putinka.
And you know, that's just another one of those coincidences that sticks in my mind. Is that it was, I forget if it was 3 or 5 years, but lo and behold, Putin gets his own vodka, and then the next thing you know, Julius Geezer has his.
Well, Bob, Steve, and Rick, I'd like to get your all's opinion, and everybody's out there that's in the sound of my voice. And why did they shut down the interpreter? They were going to try to subpoena her, or to testify, and on party line votes, Republicans said no, not going to have it. What the hell is that all about?
The Republicans are heavily compromised by the Russians. The whole NRA connection, that's the key, Steve. The NRA,
you don't think it's just
infiltrated by the Russians?
You don't think they're just trying to, you know, protect, you know,
well, their
confidentialities going forward?
No, I think they're worried about themselves primarily, but also worried
about
the
party. They don't give a shit about anything going forward then.
It's basically, yeah, it's party before country. They are bad Americans, as Norman Goldman would say. They're part of the problem. You know, they're traitors as well.
But that could have cut through a lot of the bullshit. We got this whole 2 hours of ambiguity that we don't know what the hell was said. And, of course, the interpreter may have said, well, I'm just interpreting. I can't remember shit anyhow. Who knows what she'd have come forth with. But still, it'd have been interesting
to find
out.
They keep notes. Yes, sir, they do.
Do they, friend? Yeah, well, that would have been interesting.
Well, but that was another one of the requirements of the secret meeting, no note-taking.
Is that Brother John out there? Is that who I'm hearing?
Is that what, John?
I'm trying to listen in. I'm trying to listen in here, Bob.
Oh, it's good to hear from you, friend.
I'm sorry to be a little late. We're having a little difficulties. If I cut out or lose you.
I get it. Yeah. I just wondered why they shut that idea down on party line votes, you know?
Well, because they're complicit in the crime.
Well, that's where I am at this point. I am absolutely convinced. Well, look, I mean, it's like the story about Scott Walker, okay? He meets with Maria Butina, and a couple of weeks later, a Russian-born, oil billionaire with ties to Putin's oligarchs, and arguably Putin himself, gives $250,000 to Scott Walker's presidential campaign. The entire, and you know, maybe I don't like saying this. Let me be clear. I've given Republicans hell for damn near a decade and a half, okay? But I do not like saying this.
Christ, all we needed was 3 crossover votes. Jeez, man.
I don't like saying it, but at this point in time, I don't see any reason not to. The entire Republican Party is compromised. The entire Republican Party.
There is. I don't believe there's a Republican Party left, Bob. I look at it with 23 years I gave to this country, both military and civil service, working for the Department of Defense. Everybody said this, it's a cliche now. Can you imagine Obama standing up there next to Putin and saying the crap that came out of that man's mouth?
We're talking about
the guys.
Is,
oh, they would have
tour. Forget about the apology tour.
They would have drugged that.
Commander in chief, are you shitting me? Oh, by the way, Bob, that's gonna be the name of my new book. Are you shitting me?
Oh,
hey, you know what? I'll be lining up to buy it. Can I get an autographed copy?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting, John. Since you're here, I'm glad you are. You were apparently disturbed by the same thing that I had a note from Steve in New York about before we started the front porch. And that is the appearance of Mr. Devine in the list of exhibits against Mr. Manafort.
Oh, he I don't know what Manafort's plan is at this point. You know, it's
but,
prison.
You know, a high-ranking campaign consultant.
He's straight out of Russia. He's straight out of Ukraine. That's all his business was before he came over. And he volunteered to go in there, and Donnie accepted him. What's that shit about?
The Devine guy was closely associated with the Bernie campaign, and I took that to be what you were talking about when you said, I am deeply disturbed by what's at the bottom of this page.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, about their manipulation to get people divided between Bernie and Hillary. Is that what you're speaking of?
Well, the fact that a known associate, and the guy had done work for Viktor Yanukovych, the same scumbag that Manafort worked for in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And it can't, as Steve noted, it can't help but just raise question marks.
Well, in my belief, ever since Donnie lost his casinos, he got in bed with the Russians at that point. That's where his sons all come back and say, oh, well, that's where we get most of our funding and all that crap. That right there just lays the groundwork, the path, the yellow brick road straight into where we are now. You know, he's highly indebted to Russia.
But Susan Collins.
More like the brown brick road, actually, not the golden brick road.
Yeah, really. I stand corrected.
Susan Collins. Wait a second. Worker, they all had to band together and say, no, we don't want this interpreter. So what the fuck? They're supposed to, you know, they supposedly had this epiphany. Epiphany my ass, man.
I wonder how many of them have pictures with that little Russian spy, the little redheaded girl there. How many of them have their pictures?
Rick,
she's like Waldo. She's like Waldo. She's everywhere.
Yeah. Evidently, she was making Facebook. Everybody's waiting to see the list of Republicans that slept with her. You know, it's gonna be a show, buddy. I'm telling you.
Oh, good God! Is this gonna be? Is
Larry
this...
Flint has offered a bounty on that?
Well, I mean, I'm wondering if it's going to wind up being like that old joke that ends, flashlight hell, find my keys, and we'll drive out.
Yeah, no shit. Yep, it's that big.
I'm hoping she slept with East Fresno Rat Fink.
I mean to tell you. Yeah, this whole week, it's been a rough week, you know.
What I had asked about Tad Devine was, why is Tad Devine, who was a Bernie campaign operative, what does that mean? The fact that he was working with Manafort with Yanukovych, what does that mean? Does that mean that Bernie was compromised?
You know, I hate to think that. I don't want to think that.
I doubt it.
I don't think Bernie was actively compromised. But I think there's a reason to wonder if that guy was a worm in his campaign.
Well, see, I preach this all the time on my show, Bob. We can't do this. We cannot afford to split this party. The one thing the Republicans have is they always come up with one candidate. The ultra right, the middle right, the wackos, they all vote for one guy.
Well, yeah,
perfect.
We have to be intellectually honest here and be willing to look at our own dirt.
Yes. And I urge everybody to get in and make your voice heard. Change the party. You know,
I mean, why, what? I mean, I'm hesitant to think that Bernie was a witting pawn here because he has certainly not pulled punches post-election with criticizing Putin and Trump.
Yeah.
But it's just, and the other thing too is that I feel like I wonder about is I admit I come to this, the whole thing, with a preconceived notion about Trump. And I just want to make sure that I'm not looking at things through those rose-colored glasses and being very sure that I'm looking at things as objectively as possible. And when something like this comes up, I can't help but say, what was that? What happened there? And I don't want to think that, I don't know.
I totally agree. Cause I got two sons, both in their 20s, were Bernie bots from Go. I was. They almost had me convinced, but I knew that the right vote was Hillary because we couldn't take a chance. But I was all behind Bernie. So to hear that he might be compromised, that would be a blow to my kids, like you wouldn't believe.
From where I stand, I think I'm as close to a reasonable answer as anybody that I've heard, and I just come back to, they didn't care how they got the message through. They got into every aspect of the presidential campaign structure or debate, and I mean they used Black Lives Matter to advance anti-Hillary.
Oh yeah.
They used
no doubt.
They used Bernie's campaign to advance anti-Hillary. They used Jill Stein's campaign to advance anti-Hillary. They used every Republican campaign. I mean, really, $250,000 to Scott Walker? Okay.
I'm sorry. Is anybody kind of suspicious about what a perfect storm this whole 2016 election was? Is that looking that way to anyone else?
I don't think it was by accident.
No, I think everything came together on purpose.
From the passage of the Magnitsky Act forward, this was a planned.
Yeah. As soon as those sanctions were put in place, that was it. Something had to be done.
Because more than anything, they needed the sanctions gotten rid of, and they recognized that with Hillary Clinton, it was never going to happen.
There's a lot of oil up there.
I really hate to say this, but it is looking like, and my gut feeling is telling me, Putin is trying to take over the world, and he's trying to satellite control the U.S. Maybe that sounds overly suspicious and paranoid, but given what we've seen this week, I'm sorry, but that's the impression I'm left with.
Well,
hang on just a second, please, because what Megan said is very important. And I want it to settle in for just a second. And if I could offer a caveat to that, Megan, I would say that he doesn't need control of the United States per se. What he needs
he needs control of the nuclear arms that we got.
Well, no, what he needs is to neutralize our impact. And he got exactly what he wanted out of the NATO meeting. He got exactly what he wanted out of the G7 meeting. He got exactly what he wanted out of the trip to Great Britain. He's
got everything he wanted since Trump was elected.
Exactly.
Yeah, it looks like he's getting everything he wants now with the Republican Congress and with the executive branch. They're trying to take over the judicial branch. Now, all we have to wonder at this point is what are the intelligence agencies up to?
Have that one all-important weapon, and that's our voice and our vote. And if we can't change it down here in the populace, then bring the flag down and run up the Russian one.
Yeah, John.
It's up to us to save this shit. Nobody else is going to do it.
I'd
rather go back to paper ballots, baby, myself.
Yeah. I have no problem with paper ballots.
We have paper ballots in California.
Yeah. Well, it's called an absentee vote.
Well,
all the ballots are paper in California now.
But just to kind of stay with the topic for a second, the immediate near-term goal of Vladimir Putin, Megan, is to rebuild the Soviet Empire and recapture the satellite states. And the ones he most wants are Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Ukraine, Montenegro. And then he can work on the stand states. And he needs a fractured European-American alliance in order to get away with any of that. Because
Wait.
Question for you, Bob, is how much is what plays into Putin's motives? The embarrassment people are claiming he felt after the fall of the Soviet Union, the rise of the U.S. How much is playing into that? That either he wants to embarrass us really badly, neutralize our influence, or take us out as a world power, or all three?
All three.
I
lost my thought there for a minute. When Khrushchev was backed down by
Kennedy.
Trump at that time made that famous quote. It was quoted then, it's quoted now, and you can see little memes on it now, is that they will not defeat America with weapons, they will defeat us from within. And look where we're at, baby. When you say you can't get a single Republican up there to stand up to this shit and find out what happened in that meeting, because already Putin's coming out talking about sanctions were discussed. Sanctions were discussed in workarounds. That's what Putin's putting out over there.
We're discussing Putin coming to the White House in the fall. Now, how close are we to Putin saying, oh, I need to bring my army over here? And Trump's going to be like, oh, no.
Right there at the gate of the White House.
Well, hold on a minute. I keep trying to double this thing back just for a second. You asked about Putin's mindset, Megan. He's an old KGB spook, okay? He even referenced it by way of, you know, kind of sticking a finger in our eye at the summit.
I think he has a deep loyalty to his country.
Well, and he wants, I mean, Russia, the Soviet Union, okay, that agglomeration of a whole bunch of states that were sucked into their orbit mandatorily, wielded greater power than Russia does on its own. So if you lived in a Soviet satellite state, it's not like you were buying a Volkswagen car. You were sending money. All your money went to Moscow. It's kind of like if you go to Walmart, all your money goes to Bentonville, Arkansas. And that's, you know, that's
They're
what
like
he wants. He wants
states, I guess.
He wants the restoration of that prestige. And he wants that,
he wants that additional
power. He was never, look, communism was a word that those fuckers bandied about. They weren't communists, okay? They were merely autocratic tyrants. And communism was the vehicle that they used for it.
Now, how neatly karmic in Putin's mind would it be, Bob, if he used the United States as a weapon against to keep those countries in line?
Oh, he'd love to, but just by shattering the alliance, he does that because the United States has always been the driving force behind NATO. So if he, and there's some complicated stuff underneath all this. For instance, one of the deals that he offered that was leaked was that. He was a proponent of having a referendum in Crimea so that people could go and freely vote that they really, really wanted to be part of Russia, because the invasion of Crimea and the annexation of Crimea is the centerpiece for all of this. That's what made him an outlaw nation.
And Trump gave Trump
oil to the sea.
Trump gave him the nod to test Poseidon nuclear technology. And if that doesn't chill everybody within the sound of my voice to the bone, I don't know what the fuck does, man.
Take it one step further, okay? You see how President 45 acts. You saw how he admired how China got rid of term limits for its presidents.
Oh, yes, dear.
Okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How neatly would he have it sewn up if, for God forbid, we have Trump for the rest of his sorry life in the Oval?
Here's what scares me. He can use armies
to keep those states in line so he can gain control and use us as a patsy.
Well, that's the thing. If he rolls an army into Estonia and Lithuania and Latvia, the United States would be the driving force behind pushing Europe to go in and stop him, okay?
You would think.
And with the United States hamstrung, the European nations are going to be less likely to do that.
Here's
what I'm worried about, and it's a ridiculous thing. It's very far-fetched. Will it happen? I don't think so, and I'll tell you why at the end of the statement. But there's a preacher on TV. I've tried to talk about him today on my show, but my show messed up. You know, there's a preacher on TV parroting Alex Jones with this, well, you know, the left is going to mob up. We're going to run into the White House, take the whole Trump family out. We're going to take them out on the yard. We're going to chop their heads off. And these are the liberals and their mob. They're bloodthirsty. And that's what this preacher is preaching.
Yeah, that was Rick. That was Rick Wiles. We had the audio for prayer meeting Wednesday. This, right.
You heard the same shit. Alex Jones with the Second Civil War, they pushed that idea. They're waiting for a certain incident to happen. And when it does, that gives Donnie the right to institute martial law for the safety of the country, mind you. as a good patriot, he would institute martial law, and that is the beginning of where that all that scenario goes.
I was going to take it not as riling the left, but in riling the right.
It
and
is.
Having someone stupid go off and shoot off their firearms.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. They're trying to motivate their cockroaches, those militias, those leftover crumbs from hate from when Obama was in there, and those people trying to get them ready and convince them that the left is going to do something. So they're pumped up. That's what I'm talking about. It's not us that's going to make a move.
So you
they're
and I had the same thought, basically.
Right, baby.
That they were
going
to rile up
right
at
this is they're going to try to create an incident and that it's going to get bad. And mind you, like this preacher, these are the type of people that think Armageddon is the greatest thing. Jesus is going to come back. There's going to be blood rubbed on the bridle and it'll be gory and it's going to be,
And then they get to start killing Jews. That's the best part for them.
Yes, that is. They think that's wonderful.
And if there's any silver lining in all of this,
we need one.
God knows, John. I try. If there's any silver lining in all of this, it is that some people are beginning to take notice and speak openly. And so this morning, as I was getting ready to haul my happy ass over to the garage. I caught a little bit of my filthy little habit on MSNBC, where of all people to be the truth teller, and this kind of makes me go that I'm even saying this.
Willie Geist?
No, Donnie Deutsch.
Oh, okay.
Who's
Donnie Deutsch?
Ad executive, marketing guy, low rent, low grade millionaire of some sort, New York social scene type. He's a buddy. He's a buddy of the Joe and Mika show for the last 10 years or so. He's kind of dapper, and he's usually a bit of a clown. But he wasn't clowning around this morning when he just and he just said they were talking about Trump, they were talking about Russia, they were talking about Putin, and of Trump, he simply said he is owned.
Yes.
And that's kind of shocking. I mean, because if you watch the for-profit media, there are people who have been dancing around it and they've been sort of spiraling in toward that. But he said straight out, he's owned. Putin owns him. There's no doubt about it. It's the simplest explanation. And of course, they had a couple of good Republicans there who said, well, no, that's not the simplest explanation. The simplest explanation is that blah, 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 blah. No, the simplest explanation is that Vladimir Putin owns his adipose ass.
Yes, he does.
Because he's got
and we all like to think about, oh, it's because he's got a pee-pee tape, and that all makes us laugh. But the truth of the matter is...
Yeah, but yeah, I got to thinking about that too. Hang on a minute. See what you think of this.
It goes all the way back. Look, and yes, why?
Now, see what you think of this.
My mom.
What if Karen McDougal and Stormy Daniels are a way of inoculating the maggots against the PP tape? What if all this talk about him and hookers
sure
and porn stars and strippers? Right, and so by the time the PP tape comes out, it'll be like, well, that's just because he's a really manly man with a lot of manly attributes.
Me and my wife on Sunday night, we just get carried away.
Yeah, but is he a Roy Moore? The question is he a Roy
with
Moore?
Prostitutes.
How old are those prostitutes? How old are they? Right, that's the question.
What were you saying, Megan?
What I keep seeing on social media is the prostitutes is it just fuels the whataboutism, because then people always inevitably bring up President Clinton back in the 90s to as a way of by defense when people get indignant, and then they spiral into talking, oh, well, you supported Clinton and his affairs are blah, 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 blah. If you want to talk about inoculating, but I thought it had more to do with the fact that he was doing money laundering to pay these women off.
Well, Megan, you can also call that both siderisms, and they've been beating that drum for the last two or three years.
Yeah.
What about when? You know, that kind of stuff. Hey, I've got a theory.
I've got kind of a wild theory. I'm almost half expecting Donald during one of the Cabot meetings to, like, rip off his rubber mask to reveal that it's really Vlad underneath there.
Right now, I've seen it. He might as well. I like I said, I come from it from a different perspective. To me, he is just, he's outraged me by his performance up there on the stage, standing next to him. If there was ever any doubt in my mind, ever, which there hasn't been, believe me, that was it. I will let go of a rant that went pretty good.
Did you see the new Time magazine cover?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Finally got his Time cover, didn't he?
I wonder if he's going to get spanked with that one.
Yeah.
Look,
what I found really strange.
There's a picture floating around social media, mainly on Facebook, that somebody photoshopped an intimate picture with Putin and Donald.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Really?
Are you sure it's photoshopped?
Yeah. Well, it's a naked woman, so.
Oh, well.
Well, like I said at the beginning of the program, the one that kind of stopped me in my tracks was the one that Sandra tweeted earlier. And it's a real photo. There's no photoshopping involved. It's just one of those nights, and he's it's him and Melanoma and Ivanka, and they're flanked on either side by Playboy bunnies in different colored little, you know, bunny costumes. One of them's Karen McDougal. But the telling part of it is that in that photograph, his arm isn't around his wife. His arm is around Ivanka, and his hand is on Ivanka's ass.
I swear, I try to stay away from that.
God.
I still remember him on that night, late night show, the radio guy.
Howard Stern's.
Yes. And,
Stern. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was watching it live. Oh, yes, she's a piece of ass. That's what he said. And every, like you said, every picture you can find, it's at that degree of is that closer is what, you know, it hangs on that ledge of is that inappropriate or was he just, you know,
well,
no, it's inappropriate his whole damn life.
If anyone saw the RNC convention last year, there was a body language expert when Donald apparently like greeted both his daughter and his wife when they were making speeches, and a body language expert broke down like each greeting, and apparently when it was with Melania, he, like, I don't know, like, grasped her upper arms and just kind of, like, shook her, and they said that was, like, he was asserting that he was in control and dominant, but with Ivanka, he literally, like, he patted her rear end, and somebody said, that's more like, you know, someone thanking someone else for having a one-night stand, and I'm reading it, like, with this grimace. Basically, what in the world?
I believe it.
Well, remember, there's no reason to think, there's no reason to suspect that Karen McDougal and Stormy Daniels had a little sit down to determine what their story was going to be. They independently confirm that at the end of each of their sexual liaisons, Donald Trump said the same thing. You were great. You remind me of Ivanka.
Yes. I mean, to tell you, it's just one of his standard lines, you know?
Oh, my God.
He said it himself. Well, if she wasn't my daughter, I'd be dating her. You know?
Yeah.
You're a slime ball. You're a slime ball. And that's the social part of this game, you know?
Remember the Miss Universe in Russia, right? What? Was that in St. Petersburg? Right? Where
going into the dressing room.
The magic key to all the doors?
Disgusting.
Walk right in.
Hey, I got something that was kind of under the radar. I don't know if you covered it in any of your shows, Bob. I'm a little behind on listening to the show, but this is something that really struck me as weird. Like about 3 days before Trump met with Putin in Helsinki, mysteriously a 42-year-old Secret Service guy has a stroke in Scotland.
Yep, dropped dead on the golf course.
And dies. I mean, since when does a 42-year-old that is otherwise healthy, he was like a veteran, you know, he was in the Marines for like 8 years. Since when do they die of a stroke? I mean, come on.
Does somebody need to check for poison?
Well, no.
Like
see, that's the thing.
UK?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean,
that was a message from Putin to Donald. You know, you better be my butt boy, so to speak, during this upcoming conference.
That's exactly
or else,
what it is.
You know? That's what
I think. That's what
it
he's
is.
Known for.
Yeah.
That's what he's known
yeah.
for.
Well, see, that here's the other side of that. If that had happened during the Obama administration, Alex Jones would have been losing his brains would have been dribbling through out of his nostrils as he shrieked Limbaugh would have been the same. Yeah.
Oh, lipstick.
But the fact of the matter is, yeah, I saw it and I thought the same thing. Huh? How about that? I wonder if that was a polonium induced stroke.
Yeah. See, the thing is right here, if we could take any one of these conspiracy theories and it's plausible, you could find where it looks reasonable to anybody that, it does look suspicious. And that's because of the whole damn shit kebab that we've got. You know, this whole damn thing from the time he came into this office, he has not said a bad word about Putin. You know, this meeting is the summit. He asked for that summit, you know, and now he invited him here.
And since you mentioned the summit, I wanted to make sure that we mentioned this evening. This is the timing that will take place, as I understand it. So the summit will happen at the White House on November 2nd. The midterm election.
God.
Let's get this all in one lump so we can consider it. The summit will happen on November the 2nd at the White House. Mm-hmm. 4 days later, on Tuesday, November the 6th, we will have the midterm elections. And 4 days after that, on November the 10th, we will have a massive military parade down Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C.
Oh, jeez.
Does that stink like week-old garbage to anyone
else?
Oh,
no, that's
way worse
on wheels.
About a year old, I'd say.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Dead fish. Smells like. Well, it's almost like Putin is going to basically give Donald instructions on how to, like, maybe institute martial law. I mean, if you're really going to go way out on the ledge, I don't know. I mean, maybe
what better time
horse is sneaking Russian military into that parade, and then fix the elections or create an incident where he can declare martial law
So hold on a second here. Let's go to Billable Rick's legal expertise here. That word gets bandied around from time to time, martial law.
Right.
How complicated would it be to institute anything even vaguely resembling martial law in the United States?
Well, it'd be very complicated because the power is so diffuse by the design of our governments. I mean, you have the federal system, you have the state system, you have the different branches of government to check on each other. But the problem is those institutions have been broken down by Trump. And, basically the Republicans have it all now. Except for certain states like California and the higher population states. But as far as to invoke martial law like that, that would effectively be, let's say you eliminate habeas corpus, for example, like Lincoln did during the Civil War.
Right, and you throw posse comitatus out the window.
Yeah.
You want to take that?
Basically. Yeah, posse comitatus is a prohibition on the U.S. military being able to police within the country, okay?
God.
You know, so you can't have, like, military police operating within the U.S., okay? Yeah, so I think a declaration of martial law, what you need is probably a physical attack on the U.S. Maybe Putin's going to say, okay, I'm going to, like, you know, take down your electrical grid on election day so you guys can't have an election. It's going to, like, cause you know, basically
a
all of your
crisis.
You know, it's going to cause a crisis, you know.
Is, the,
you know,
is there
try to push his powers under having a public crisis to intervene on?
Rick, is there anything tucked away in the Patriot Act that would make it more or less likely?
Oh God, I can't say that I've ever read the whole thing, but maybe I better get started on it, Bob. You know.
Oh, man.
Well, if you start like, now, you might be done by November. It's not an easy
like
read.
1,200 freaking pages or something like that, you know? Yeah, and they had like, what, one night to look at it before they voted on it? Oh, my God, you know? Yeah, who the hell knows?
If something like that happened, it would be riots in the street. They would first initiate the National Guard to come out and try to quell the violence, depending at that point whether it tried to escalate, whether the federal troops would be called in.
Well, the thing is,
National Guard is under state control.
Yeah.
Unless
they are federalized, and then they're under direct command of the commander in chief.
Right. This is the deal. I've watched like shows like, you know, about Armageddon. How's the world gonna come to an end, or how are we gonna have major crises and so forth? And the problem with losing power is we're so dependent on it that it would basically cause shortages of food. You wouldn't, you know. The transportation system wouldn't work properly. You know, you couldn't get gasoline distributed throughout the country. I mean, it would really, you know, not having electrical power would basically put us back to the Stone Ages for at least a few weeks. That would actually be a plausible national emergency he could declare.
If you take away power, I've said this before that, you know, being in the military, we are set up to defend this country. All over the place except one place, and that's here. We are not set up to defend our land. We're set up to defend ourselves across the world. And if anything's happened in this country, such as the power grid, we lose power like that. And that could happen for a variety of reasons. You're not only going to have problems. Say it is an invasion. You're going to be fighting your neighbor down the road down there. It's got a good eyeball on your generator, on your water, or your food, or whatever the hell it is that you got. That's what we're going to have to worry about in this country. You want to hope, and we all want to hope, that in a national crisis, we all come together. But, you know, there's people out there prepping like you wouldn't believe, and they're ready to shoot anybody that walks up on their property. They don't care.
Yeah, I think for the first, yeah, John, I think like for the first few days of the crisis, people would band together, but after a while, once the food starts to run out, that's when,
deliveries can't be made.
No holds barred.
I've seen, in the last 6 years, I've seen two instances right here where I live where shit fell apart. Almost exactly 6 years ago, it was when the derecho came through. And the nearest...
Sorry, the what came through?
Derecho. The straight line winds that took down power for a shit ton of the Central Atlantic coast or Central Atlantic states. Locally here, we were without power for 2 weeks. I had to drive almost to the Virginia line to find a generator. Word spread because, you know, when the power's gone, nobody can run a gas pump.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wound up driving over on fumes, driving over to Summersville, which is about 25 miles away. Because the Sheets, which is kind of like Wawa, for those who know what Wawa is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Sheets was selling gasoline as quickly as they could get it in their tanks. And they had independent generators that were running the pumps. And the lines were ginormous. Lo and behold, there were people, and there were people there. You know, they weren't just filling their cars up. They had everything that would hold gasoline in it.
Yep.
And I remember watching them, thinking, and you know, they didn't give a damn about anybody behind them. Fuck them. Yep. They were going to get gasoline. And that's a week into a power outage.
Imagine a month.
And there's there's you can't buy ice, you can't buy food. Walmart doesn't have power. Kroger doesn't have power. And
I went to New Orleans directly after Katrina. You know, I got family down there, and man, I'm telling you, you couldn't find nothing. There was nothing there.
And people get ugly real fast, John.
Real fast, real fast. Uh-huh. And you only have one option, and that's to get angry back, you know. And you're going to protect what's yours. It gets bad.
Civilization is a very thin veneer.
And then we had massive flooding here just a couple of years ago, and again the entire infrastructure went down. Yeah. Because it was flooding, nobody had food. And it was a desperate attempt to just get enough food into like the local churches and National Guard armories and stuff, so that people would have somewhere to sleep and eat. I've said, and you know, I don't do the Alex Jones stuff, but I have begun to, you know, I've said several times now, this country is not prepared for any kind of major disaster that encompasses more than one region.
That's right.
When you look at sea level rise, this country is not prepared for a couple of million people bugging out and leaving Florida.
Yeah.
And we saw that with the hurricanes last year. You know, hotels booked up all the way up into Georgia and Alabama as people were trying to move away from the track of the hurricane. Not ready for it, not even remotely. Darcy just wrote in and said, "Breaker, is it time to hook up the CB radios?" Well, if you've got some way to keep electricity to them, yeah, that ain't a bad idea.
Well, them CBs are only 12 volt; they work. I got two of them. I'm old; I kept them, and they still work. Now, listen to us. Look how easy it is to talk about that scenario. And that it's just too damn scary. And the only time we can change, I keep preaching this, it's the only way in our democracy is the voice and the vote. That's the power of the people. Every great nation and every great country, every great empire eventually either bent to the will of the people or it was destroyed. One of the two.
Yeah, but guys, isn't that the maggot utopia? Isn't that really what they want?
That's what they want.
It is.
They're prepared for it.
They want to seal it up. They want to make a kingdom here. And guess who's going to be the serfs? Us. I have an income maybe, if I'm lucky, about $25,000 a year. You know, it's hard to live on that kind of shit. I speak from down here at the bottom, baby. And it gets rough real quick. And, what the hell?
Well, I mean, here in Appalachistan, John, I mean, there's a lot of kinship with that.
Yes, yes. I was speaking to somebody the other day on the chat there that, you know, that old saying, if there's a lot of month at the end of the money, oh, hell yes, every month. And I made the point that we survived that because we become very adept at pulling shit out of our ass to make it happen.
But the reality side of it is, to a certain extent, some poor folks are going to be better at it than some very wealthy folks.
If there was a big crash tomorrow, I've got a river in my backyard. I'm very adept at hunting.
I got 11 generations that made it this far on a whole lot of goddamn beans and cornbread.
That's right, baby. If need to, hey, them beans are still good. I still like them.
A hunk of fatback or hog jowl, because it's smoked, will keep a long damn time.
I swear, Bob. I watch TV out there in the evening. They're sitting there watching a show or something, and here comes that commercial. Come to the Bahamas. Are you shitting me? Who are you talking to? And I know somebody maybe here might be. But a large majority of us, we're not going to the Bahamas. You know, hell, the only
people. Yeah, I watch those things, and I wonder, who the hell are they aiming these ads at?
Who's going?
Who's buying the goddamn new Lexus?
Well, bless them if they can. You know, it is the American dream. You have a right to make all the money you can and to live that American dream. That's not the thing. But at some point in a society, you have to look at the disparity between what the working man is getting down there on the floor and what the CEO of that company is getting. And it used to not be that way. Everybody had a right to get a good promotion and earn up the line. But at a certain point nowadays, that's put away by the side by cutting back your hours. We don't hire 40-hour week people. We don't advance you that fast. One guy just
and the only and, right exactly, John. And the only really really good jobs are the jobs that require people to do things that hurt other people. I was talking to a fellow today about working in the mines, and he said, you know, I was bringing down $1,600 a paycheck every 2 weeks. And he said, for me, that was high living. He said, but that was before that piece of slate come loose and landed on my spine. And he said, I went from that to $600 every 2 weeks on workers' comp. And he said, I was living beyond my means at $1,600 every 2 weeks. And at $600 every 2 weeks, it wasn't going to happen anymore.
And between my careers, I roughnecked in the oil field, which is excellent money. As long as you could still come out of there and order 10 beers with two hands. I came close to losing my fingers lots of times, and it's a very dangerous business to be in, but it pays well. Just like you said, it's sad, and I preach this all the time. We ought to have a pig referendum in this country for military pay. Those guys, we ask them to put their life on the line, and we pay them crap while we watch our lawmakers get pay raise after pay raise, and they get a big military budget, and that is not for the soldier. That is for defense contractors. It's a jobs program. That's what that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
Because we've got no small number of enlisted personnel who can't make it to the end of the month without food stamps, you know, just like Walmart.
I know things have changed, but we was just laughing the other day, me and my kids, because Mom and I was telling them, when I was a young sailor, when we got married, we used to save the pop bottles because we knew we weren't going to make it to the next payday. And here I am, 41 years later with that woman, and I'm still having trouble making it to the next payday. You know, it's not like life is terrible. But that's been the life all along. I've worked for it. There was times that we did make money when I was
and you know what? There's elements of that, John, that actually is the American dream, because
it's
being a dream, it's the American reality. And we sit here and we go from day to day, and we look at each other and we go, yeah, but we got each other, and that's what matters,
did.
and that's happiness. And it's frustrating when you run across people like a Donald Trump who doesn't, you know, and God knows we see it with coal executives here and fracking and the fracking types. You know, they never live where they do their dirty business. And it's all because it's something I came up with a long time ago. It's all because they haven't figured out they don't hook U-Hauls to hearses.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, I was talking earlier, you know, when we were talking about Trump's relationship with Ivanka, and I was reminded of this passage from Chinatown.
Good. What's her name?
Catherine.
Catherine who?
She's my daughter.
I said I want the truth.
She's my sister. She's my daughter. My sister, my daughter.
I said I want the truth.
She's my sister and my daughter.
You know, there's just a little bit of, like I said, a little bit of Uncle Daddy about that whole Trump. But the other line that I'm always reminded of out of that fantastic movie by a human pig of a director is this one, and John, this will probably speak to you and the rest of the Horn Family Community Congregation.
Why are you doing it? How much better can you eat? What can you buy that you can't already afford?
You know, talking to a man who was rich enough to burn a sopping wet herd of wet elephants with sopping wet $100 bills.
You know, it is sad. Like I said, nobody begrudges anybody to make it well in this country and to make it real well. I remember my father being so proud. He retired from the Navy after 21 years, went to work for civil service, and made a great living, and moved to the suburbs and belonged to a country club. My God, my father was elated with that. And that's the path. But at the expense of what, you know, he made it in working for the government. And a lot of people can't. But a lot of corporations, you know, they just had a video on the other day of this guy that worked for Home Depot. Had worked for him for 20 years. He has to have surgery. 30 days before the surgery, they terminated.
Candy's ass.
Because they canned him because they could see the amount of the bill coming, and they didn't want to pay for it. And it's the same thing with the cutting back the work hours. We can't hire you full-time. We'll put you on part-time. That takes away insurance. It takes away so much. And,
well, this whole gig economy is really focused on that, John. I mean, basically, you treat people as contractors so you don't have to give them benefits.
That's right. You don't have to be responsible
for anything. Well, then that just makes them go to the government for that stuff.
Exactly. Walmart is subsidized by the U.S. government. Those profits that they get are on the heels, on the backs of the working men out there that have to pay those taxes that help support the food assistance or the assistance that those people need while working almost a full-time job.
A lot of people don't realize that people on assistance are people who are working full-time at Walmart.
Yes, that's what I mean. They got a job, but they can't live on that. And it just kills me when you hear people like that. Oh, I hate to bring that guy up, that Papa John asshole. He couldn't provide for his employees because he'd have to go up the price of pizza. Are you shitting me? You could take less of your cut, asshole, and maybe you wouldn't have a big moat around your house.
Yeah,
that's
but
when
this...
people start getting upset at excessiveness.
Yeah, that story.
When they throw the finger in their place of the worker.
The usefulness of the billionaire class to me.
Yeah.
Can anyone do it? I'm baffled.
Hey, Bob.
Well, I think they're, you know, they're sort of to American society what the Romanovs were to Russians. You know, they're, you know, highly dispensable.
They're drones. Somebody, hey, bobbed me. Who was that?
That's Chris. Yeah.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, everyone?
Hey.
Yes. Did everyone hear about the story? New boss, same as the old boss. What's his name? The guy that replaced Pruitt.
Wheeler.
What's his name?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Andy Wheeler.
Andrew Wheeler, I believe, a former coal industry lobbyist.
Yeah, he rolled back the regulations on coal ash that were passed under Obama.
Yeah, well, you know, just dump that shit anyway. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. You know, that's the mentality. Every one of these people are set in there to destroy this thing. To me, it's as simple as the military operation. Divide and conquer. That's it. It's a simple military tactic. You divide a nation and you conquer it. And that's what he's trying to do in our country on the world stage. Divide us from our allies. Kick everybody in the shins. Toss over a few trash cans. Call some people some names. Work the same ass shit in this country. Get the right terribly upset with the left and the left terribly upset with the right. And then you have the opportunity to take control. And that's to me, that's exactly.
Well, if that's the case, John, then it's already accomplished.
Uh-huh. I mean, that's like I say, every great power has to bend to the will of people. They don't have to bend completely. They don't have to break, but they have to adjust the wind. They have to adjust the wind in the sails or the peak. That's how come they celebrate Bastille Day. You know, at some point now, 100 years from now, 10 years from now, whatever it is, the people will rise up against that. You know, and let's hope we don't get to that part.
Hey, Rick.
You know, we can't do this violent shit.
Did you catch the good news this week?
What good news about what?
The judge took that billionaire's plan to divide the state up to three.
Oh, the California Supreme Court took it off the ballot.
Oh, they're taking it off the ballot?
Yeah. California Supreme Court decision. They took it off the ballot because they said it would cause too much disruption or something, or, you know, and it was of questionable constitutionality because all the other states had to approve of it. You know, I think that was the rationale.
Yeah, it was actually, it was an... I got the idea that the court found it to be rather of an absurdity.
Mm-hmm.
It can be challenged here in Texas. I'm not a lawyer and don't even claim to be near as smart as one, but there's a provision when the state was founded that at some time the state could be split into separate areas for separate states. And the but the succeeders down here, they love to hang on to that.
Well, I would say that makes it very unlikely. I think that California Supreme Court decision makes it very unlikely that this ballot proposition that the Ruskies are pushing to split off California from the U.S. is also going to not get on the ballot for that same reason.
Yeah, I was wondering about that one, too.
As mad as we get, I always tell everybody, because it pisses me off down here in Texas when I see these, and there's plenty of them, baby. They'll have that secede sticker on one side and American flag on the other side of their bumper. And here's the deal. I tell them, you need to take one of them off.
Yep, because pick one.
Because if Spartan succeeding from this union, you might as well go through Arlington, piss on every grave there, start kicking over headstones, because it's the same thing. I remind them here in Texas that in the Alamo that we are so proud of, and baby, we are, those were not Texans in there. They were people from Kentucky, Virginia, Louisiana, Florida. There were people in that Alamo all over. And they said, well, you know, you lost the Alamo, John. We did. And I remind the people, because we just lost an election down here. We down here in Texas, we can take that loss and we can turn that into a battle cry, baby. And that's what I'm saying here. We lost the last election.
You know,
that's a big ass battle cry.
Speaking of Texas independence, and I had a good friend that, you know, that famous picture, John, of Sam Houston and Santa Anna under the Treaty Oak?
Yes, sir.
I'm sure you've seen it.
Yes, sir, I have.
I had a friend who explained it and said, well, that there is Santa Anna, and that there is Sam Houston. And Sam Houston is explaining to Santa Anna that he can either sign that there paper or hang from that there tree.
One of the two. But the choice was up to him. He had a democratic choice to make. Yeah, that's the old joke there. It's up to you. Sign the papers or hang in the tree. There's an old story going around that they were both Masons, and that somehow that's how Santa Anna escaped the tree. You hate to even think that, but Masons have been around a long time. There's a lot of big, powerful people that are Masons. But that's that. You know, those are old stories that.
What was actually probably more likely the fact. Is that Sam Houston and Santa Anna were both Creole, insofar what we call Creole, because Sam Houston had grown up among Native Americans, and had been raised by them, and Santa Anna was also part, you know, being a Mexican, he was part Native American.
What I try to remind these idiots down here with, they start with the immigration shit. Take a look around Texas. There's names of these cities, Seguin, Gonzales, and those were places of battles fought.
Tejas as well. Yeah, Texas is pronounced Tejas. It's a Spanish word, is it not, John?
Yes, actually, it's an Indian word meaning friendly. Area. What I understand.
Well,
we're influenced by a lot of our cities.
Right.
Here on the Eastern Shore Peninsula, we got a weird mix of English and Native American.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We have Wicomico
County, which was a tribe, and then we have Somerset, Dorchester, and Worcester.
Well, you know, that's where the argument ends for all of us. You know, are you Native American? No. Well, then shut up. You're an immigrant.
That's always been my argument.
Show us your papers. Yes.
I'm lucky enough. I had a cousin of mine that did his thesis in college on genealogy, and I have my family tree all the way back to 1680-something, and how my family migrated from Switzerland down to Chile and up to Canada and down to the U.S., and I have found family in Switzerland and in Chile and made contact with both, and it's amazing.
We humans really get around as far as my
You remember that Republican asshole that was popular that got some traction for a while from Colorado? Name was Tom Tancredo, and his shtick was anti-immigrant. Yeah, I remember a long time ago saying Tancredo was apparently an it was an old Cheyenne word meaning asshole where his mouth should be.
That's what Steve King is now. Steve King is that way.
He's
a racist from the word go.
They got signs up there in Iowa now. Anybody but Steve King.
Yeah. The district needs to get, because he does, he spouts all sorts of crap about how superior the white race is. And you can only take that so long before it's just, you know, really, where's your Klan outfit? Where's the pointy hat? Because put it on, buddy. We all know that's where you're at.
Oh, and over on my Facebook page, one of the best graphics I've seen in a long time, just very simple, but brilliant. Somebody got, you know, they just screenshotted a picture of Donald Trump's real live signature, and it's nothing but a bunch of up and down squiggles.
Yeah.
And some wise ass said, Donald Trump's signature looks like a Klan rally. And then inside every little pointy part of his signature, they put two little black dots for the eye holes in the hoods.
It's appropriate.
And I saw that last night, and I couldn't quit laughing. It was so true. I mean, you'd go over to my Facebook page and scroll down, you'll find it. I mean, damnest thing. Yeah.
I saw it.
I don't know if anyone saw. Somebody did that something similar, Bob, with his inauguration day pictures, with that arguing over the crowd size, and apparently they had those white mats laid out, and somebody took his inauguration picture with the white mats on that cloudy day, and then right next to it they put a bunch of people pushing the white hoods off their faces.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And the sad thing is, it's true. I mean, he you know, he really is the son of a Klansman.
His mom and daddy were there. His mom and daddy, you see the picture of them in their Klan outfits.
Were they really?
Genuinely? Well, no, I mean...
So it wasn't just a metaphor? They really were?
Frank Trump, that was his name, wasn't it? Frank? No.
Yes.
Fred.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Fred. Fred was a Klansman. He was arrested in 1927 at a Klan riot in Jamaica, Queens. That was organized by the Klan against the Irish Catholics in the New York City Police Department. It's of record.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's in his blood. It's who he believes. It's who he was raised by.
Yeah. Hold on. Say what?
Oh, I just wanted to go back to the summit for one, the upcoming summit. You know, I think Putin's probably going to bring his own mixologist with him, and he'll be trying to make Russians that come with glowing reviews.
Yeah, glowing.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I got a little cowbell for that.
Oh, well.
Yep.
Meanwhile, I've been told by
bad state of affairs
by Jeff in Hellhole, Indiana. Bob, when you bring up Republican asshole, you'll have to be more specific.
That's true, because you started your sentence out. Do you remember the Republican asshole, and we was all
which one? Come on, take
a
number.
That's a long list.
Yeah.
Come on, Bob.
Hey, we are about 10 minutes out from the end of the program, and I want to thank everybody who jumped in to meet the challenges. Just to let you know where we stand, we got $480 to close the week. So, you know, gosh, 48 new subscribers at $10 a piece would be awesome. But any way that we can knock down that $480 or some portion of it would be genuinely huge. And, you know, because that's how we keep this on the air for the last 10, 15 years or whatever it is. So anybody want to help out, run over to headon.live, hit the PayPal button. And thanks to everybody who has jumped in this evening, because it was a hell of a lot worse before we got it down to 480. So thank you very kindly, and I'm sorry to interrupt for that kind of thing. I hate the fundraising. I despise it. But I don't know of any until we start getting the George Soros checks. I don't know of any way to keep this going apart from that.
He's backed up on mine too, Bob.
Well, yeah,
I keep looking for it every damn day, but it ain't showing up.
I don't know if he's not using enough postage or what. You know, he's sending out so many of them damn checks. Maybe he's short on postage. Maybe it's all coming back postage due. You know, bring it to, go ahead and deliver it to me, and I'll pay for the damn stamp.
Oh, Bob, I'm gone. I can't hear anything.
We got you, John.
Oh, you're back.
Yeah, there's, you know, Microsoft owns Skype now, so every now and then Skype just doesn't work.
I swear they're out after me. That, you know, I tried 3 times to get video out today.
Maybe it's your trolls after you, John.
I mean to tell you, after that Monday, I've had a bunch. I've had, you know, death threats already and all that kind of stuff. We're going to come down there and kill you.
Oh, welcome to the party.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. It got real. That's why I even made a post. It was, oh, boy, I finally got death threats. It took them long enough. Shit, what's wrong with them? You just now found in my but I swear that gave us a big bump. Like I said, we went way up on our numbers, both on Facebook, on YouTube, and everything. It just because I was pissed, and they love to see me pissed.
Hey John, I got a question for you. Tom Steyer, do you know about how much he has spent on this, you know, impeachment, rally or rallying cry? I mean, it's got
no.
It's got to be tens of millions of dollars on that whole campaign.
I would think so.
I mean, if they could.
I see the commercials. I'd love to see somebody like him, or somebody else in the party that is wealthy enough to do it, to start promoting rallies for the other side, because every time you see that shit. There's nobody hollering from the other side. We're all waiting to see who we pick or something. It's not about that. It's about
we're all going to get accused of being George Soros sponsored for every single one of our marches, then we might as well just do the crime.
Yeah.
Let's go. Well, and so but the thing is, Megan, so should George.
Hey, speaking of rallies, did you see that Beto rally in Dallas the other night?
No, you're making my heart pump.
That was
you're gonna
big.
Make my heart fall. I'm telling you, people.
It was bigger than Trump rally. That's for damn sure.
You get him into the Senate.
Oh, wow.
If he holds himself like he holds himself now, I see a presidential candidate in him.
That's great.
I really do. This is really early, but it's the way the man does his work. It's the way he contacts the people. He stands up there and he takes the questions. He's not taking PAC money. I've asked every one of my followers that if you live in a blue state, support somebody in a red state. Find a candidate that's running up against a Republican in a red state and try to support them any way you can. And for my pick, that's Beto O'Rourke. And I really do wish there was a lot of other politicians that would take the lead from this man and go back to how campaigning used to be, because that's what he's done, and that's how come he's in the news.
Yeah, I didn't know it was theater in the round.
Randy Bryce up in Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Those are the two races I'll be watching.
We're just so proud of Beto O'Rourke. I just boom by him just about every chance I get. I'm looking for him to come down here to twice, and it's the beard. I know it's the beard, because if you haven't
seen the hat.
And the hat, that beard and the hat. I haven't shaved since the asshole got in there. The beard is hanging down halfway down my chest. I look like an old I don't know, a homeless guy sitting on the side of the street. I swear I want to shave. It's hot, but the beard don't go until he goes. And I don't know, I got over 13,000 people waiting to shave this booger off, and we're gonna do it live when it does happen. Somebody said, oh, you know what, you're right there at that ZZ Top stage. I got a little bit longer to go, but I'm...
How long do you have to be for it before you braid it, like a Viking?
I can braid it now. As a matter of fact, I swear, I have to put it on rubber bands at night, because if I don't, at sometime in the middle of the night, I'm going to wake up and that thing's going to be up my throat and up in my face. At night, when I have a little bowl of cereal at night, and I have a T-shirt on, I'll pull my T-shirt up over the beard and then let it pull back down so it holds the beard under the T-shirt while I have my cereal. That way my beard doesn't dip down there. It's getting long. If you haven't seen my
video. You want to braid and put little beads in it and stuff? Like, decorate it?
I've had since my fans have suggested that. I hate to call them fans. We call them family. They're Blue Dot family members, and they're so good to me. But yeah, that has been suggested. Why don't you put these little beads in there, John? Well, I don't know.
That's a little too precious, John.
I'm getting tired of when I go to the store, or when I walk out of a little convenience store, there's somebody holding the door for me. Nobody did that before the spirit. You know, I'm coming along. Oh, look, here comes an old man. Hold the door for him. Look, here, come on in. It's like,
oh, jeez.
I could whoop her ass.
You got to shit a lot to keep in shape.
I try to, dear. I could whoop her.
All you need, John, all you need, John, is like to walk around with a cane, and then they're really gonna open the doors for you, you know?
Oh yeah. I can get the head of the line privileges anywhere. I'm sure. Oh, let an old man throw a look there. Oh, he's got a veteran hat on. Let him up here. You know,
it's... yeah. Line.
I got a new hat coming in the mail too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'll show it to you one night on the porch when I get it. But it says U.S. Air Force. Vietnam veteran on it.
There you go. Oh, wow.
It's got
with the station at the same base.
Different days.
Different days.
You got there first.
Yeah, I got there first, but Sparky made sure they locked the door on the way out. Yeah.
SBDDs, right?
Sparky have a few memories that we can coincide with their
same shit base, different days, right?
Same shit, different days, baby.
Anyway, yeah. I got a beard, but it ain't as long as yours, John. I got a ponytail, and then I wear my
look, there we go, bragging.
I wear my Utapau reunion hat that I got in Dayton, Ohio in 2006. Every once in a while, somebody will come up to me in the grocery store and say, thank you for your service.
Oh, wow.
My flight jacket, which had three of my squadron patches. I was in three separate squadrons. I had all my personalized patches. These were patches that had my initials, that each member of the crew had their initials in that patch. And, yeah, that was my flight jacket. It walked away from me somewhere in here in Corpus. It was stolen from me, and
Bob has a Mach 3 Goose.
Oh yeah,
I sent him an SR-71 patch.
We've got a goose. It used to be one of those the stuffed gooses that like had one of a little pretty cornflower blue dress on it, but Agnes repurposed the goose and put a little leather flight bomber flight jacket on it, and Sparky sent us an SR-71 patch to put on him.
Yeah.
And of course his name is Goose.
Goose.
You know, from
I have a
Top Gun.
On there from the Nighthawks that in the slogan on that patch was death comes at dark. If I tell you, I have to kill you. That's what it said on the patch. And it killed me that somebody stole that, because those are memories I can't get back. I, you know, had that jacket a long time.
But, yeah, I lost a lot of my.
Somebody pets. Likes the big furry collar, you know. So what am I?
Yeah, my father came back from the Second World War, and my uncle, who didn't come back, his effects were sent back, and he had this huge hunk of white gold. A ring. He was a sergeant in I can't even remember the unit, but he was killed in eastern France in late 1944. And divvying things up, my grandmother gave my father his Purple Heart and Purple Heart certificate, and she gave that ring to one of my cousins, who promptly wore it to school and lost it.
Oh,
jeez. And the fact that I remember it, you know, my God, you know, you talk about it, irreplaceable. Oh.
Yeah.
And she and you know, Appalachian hillbilly women are practical. They won't, they don't like a lot of clutter. So while my dad was moving down to Alabama, she also threw out the contents of his sea chest.
Oh.
You talk about precious stuff.
I've still got my father's. As a matter of fact, the other day I told my sons, if you want to be impressed, go in there and pull your grandfather's uniform out. He's got a whole chest full of medals. You look each one of those medals up, and that's who your grandfather was. My sons never got to meet him. It runs deep in our family. That's how come what happened with Donnie up on that stage.
Yeah, the dishonor.
Or, how can you let this dick even consider to be your candidate? But I preach that all the time. Look who the Republicans have let into their party. There's a lot of white nationalists running on the GOP ticket in places.
There are.
And that's what I'd say all the time. Until the Republican, if you're a Republican, it's time for you to take your party back, because it's been overrun with white supremacist neo-Nazis, those deplorable people, assholes that Hillary was talking about. That's who your party has become.
It's too far gone.
Well, you want to talk about pissing on the graves in Arlington. That basically pisses on every World War II veteran that fought a whole world war.
What they're doing right now, to me, complacent in the crime of treason, as far as I'm concerned. They're protecting that asshole. And we all know where this is going. We all know how it's going to end. It ain't going to end pretty for Donnie. If we hold to the law, but the problem is that they control the House and the Senate. And until we take control of that, they're going to protect his ass. Mitch McConnell is not going to do a damn thing against him, and neither is Paul Ryan.
Mitch McConnell is as compromised as Donald Trump. Plain and simple.
Yes,
there's nothing left to be said about Mitch McConnell. He's un-American. He's anti-American. He is, in fact, he's as much, based on his behavior, when presented with the evidence of Russian acts of cyber warfare against the United States, what he did when he was presented with that evidence proves him to be in league with the enemies of this country. I was asked a minute ago, before we wrap up and get out of here, I was asked to please, would you, Bob, give us some good news? Well, I got a
good
little,
news,
I guess.
Bob.
Good news, damn it. Good news.
Give
thank
us
you.
Good
to,
news, Bob. Little ray of sunshine.
Bob Kincaid, little ray of fucking sunshine. thanks to
Star says hi, by the way.
Hi, Star. Thanks to Renee in D.C. for taking us down to 470. Thank you so much, Renee. Hopefully you'll
Thank you, Bob.
All right.
You and everybody else who jumped in this evening, hopefully you'll have some more company over the weekend. But here's the good news. The pushback, and this is good pushback. This kind of puts the little bastard in a box. Senator Cory Booker out of New Jersey has written a letter to Brett Kavanaugh. And in that letter, he has said the following to Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. To avoid the prospect that President Trump could effectively choose a judge in his own case, I request that you pledge to recuse yourself from any cases related to the special counsel's investigation and any that otherwise may immediately impact the president and his associates as it relates to the ongoing criminal investigation, should you be confirmed. The American public must have full confidence that the integrity of any decisions handed down by the Supreme Court on these matters will not be tainted by any impropriety or the appearance of impropriety from the president's selection of you.
Ding, ding, ding. That's plan B. Plan A is let's don't get him in there.
Yeah, plan A is stop his ass. I still say that business about the baseball tickets is skeevy as hell. And even more so the question of, how in the world did that just suddenly, curiously, immediately, oh, look, it's all paid off. How about that? Imagine that. Because that doesn't.
I have suspect with this whole deal. The reason Kennedy went out the door, who got to be the pick, all this is just tied together. He didn't resign. He didn't even retire just because he thought that was a good day to do it. He'd already picked his board.
Well, and he knew what was coming because he knew the news was going to break about his boy being Trump's personal banker.
His boy, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And
that's tied in. I'm swearing it's a can of worms, no matter, you know. There's a Russian under every rock, Bob.
I'm just about close to believing it.
But
the thing is, they don't have to talk with heavy accent like my stupid Russian accent. Sometimes I can talk like this, and they say, we here at the National Ruble, Rifle Association, are pleased to offer you this laurel and hearty handshake and a check for $250,000 for your campaign, Senator Cotton.
Oh. Wouldn't you like to sleep with the nice redheaded lady?
Man, if we had more time, with a line like that, John, if I had more time, I'd cue up the tube singing She's a Beauty.
I'm telling you, baby, we're going to see a lot of pictures come out. And like somebody said, really, she's a Russian spy. Do you really think there aren't videos? You know there's video. That's her job.
Well, yeah, and I had a note from Michael in Madison a few minutes ago that makes real good sense. Subject line, P-tape. My money is on those girls on the P-tape being about 13 or 14. That's Trump's sweet spot. You can't politically inoculate against pedophilia, you know, except in Alabama. Just ask Roy Moore. But the fact of the matter is, that would not surprise me in the least. And that would be the ultimate compromise on Donald Trump. So,
but again, we're faced with his followers that, like he said, if he shot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue, they wouldn't care, and that's where they're at. That's where they're at right now. Because to back down now admits that they were victims of a con job. But that's what they have to realize, is they were victims of a con job.
Oh, hell yeah, some maggot in Kentucky's like, what?
It's better than facing the realization that you're a traitor to your goddamn country and you voted for that scumbag sucker. You know, I'm trying to give him a way out, Bob.
Yeah, exactly. This way, that way, yeah. And look at, there's certain corners of places like Kentucky and Arkansas and God knows West Virginia and Texas and Alabama and Tennessee and Georgia where a fellow look up and go, what? He likes to have sex with 12-year-old. Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, my cousin Bobby just does that all the time. What's wrong? That's just healthy. That's helping that.
We don't call them kissing. We don't really call them kissing cousins for nothing.
Country. Yeah. He passed that law, a universal law in this country, that he needed slapping law. That way, when people say stupid shit, we could walk up, and people like Al Jones, we could line up and slap him every day. You know, down here in Texas. We need that call. That he needed slapping call. That way, why did you hit him? Well, because he needed slapping, Judge. Okay, of course.
Yep. The jury is dismissed. We agree. He needed slapping.
That's it.
Yep. Well, we got to get...
Had to knock some sense into him.
Yep. Well, we got to...
like the mule, you got to use a bigger 2x4.
No, we got to get out of here. It has been a delightful conversation. Thanks again to everybody for jumping in. Good to hear from you, John. I'll be looking forward to your rants Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of next week. I always do. And I try not to duplicate them because you are one in a million, my friend, and glad to have you in the conversation.
I appreciate that, Bob, very tremendously. Thank you.
And
I'm nobody though. I'm just a pissed off old sailor that my level of pissed off, and this is dependent upon your level of stupidity. That kind of
thing. Look where all the somebody's got us. It's about time us nobody's had a say in things, isn't it?
let's just keep our voices going in the same direction. That's all we have to do. Motivate these people. They've got to get out and vote.
Get out and vote. Get active. Get because I said it the other day. no argument you make to a maggot is ever going to change their mind. There's only one way. There's only one way to shut them up, and that is to beat them at the damn ballot box and send the politicians that they have representing them back scurrying behind the baseboards where they live with all the other cockroaches.
Your voice and your vote.
All set.
Two
listen
most
me to
powerful
that.
Things we have.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Well, y'all have a great weekend. We're going to try to. It looks like it's going to rain all weekend, but we'll find some way to enjoy it just the same. Rain is good. Rain is good. Everybody needs it. And thank you all for sharing your precious finite time engaging in this little conversation that's been going on all these years. Don't for a moment think that I don't know what an honor it is for you to share your time with us. And I mean this community, not me and that mouse in my pocket. Thank you to all of you who support the program and keep it on the air. We will hopefully knock down $470 over the weekend, and that'll leave just 2 days of fundraising before we got fundraising-free radio for the final week of July. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky for moderating, as he has for lo, yea, verily, these many, many years, the Friday on the Front Porch conversation. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, for HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.